NRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
And under sunny skies, 46 degrees in Denver, I'm Connor James with your KNRC News. In local news, the Jeffco County Coroner's Office is asking for help in trying to identify the body of a man found in a shallow grave in White Ranch Park near Golden on December 20th. The victim was a man, white, 35 to 45 years old, about 6 feet tall, with short brown hair. Also, several earrings in his left ear and a large number of tattoos. He died anywhere between 1.5 to 2 years ago. Call the Jeffco County Coroner's Office or possibly the Jeffco Sheriff's Office if you have any information or an idea who that may be. The man who's only announced as the suspect is the fire that decimated the Spanish Gate apartment complex went to court yesterday. 22-year-old Blake Jeffrey Fiber is now being held without bond and accused of first-degree murder, first-degree arson, and felony criminal mischief. Investigation is not complete yet, so more charges could be levied. And the structure is very unstable right now at that apartment complex. Equipment's been brought in to move some of the pieces of that debris, and they're hoping not to find any more bodies, but there are still a few people unaccounted for. A fire on Christmas Day lasted a lot longer than it should have due to low water pressure. Firefighters were not able to put their equipment to full use in fighting a fire at a Littleton condo on Christmas. The water pressure in the area was so low, only two hoses could be used to try to put the blaze out. There weren't any injuries or deaths, but eight condos were damaged in the fire, several beyond any repair. Denver Water says that contractors in the area apparently had turned off six water valves underground, most likely to make it easier to hook up new water lines. Denver Water says they're going to check other water lines all around that subdivision and all across the metro area. Police in Westminster say a man who was celebrating his 30th birthday Sunday night is responsible for the death of a woman in another vehicle. 30-year-old David Butt ran a red light and ran into another vehicle with a Chevy Blazer, instantly killing the woman driving the Ford Focus. Her passenger and the passenger in the Blazer were both seriously injured. Butt was arrested for DUI, vehicular assault, and vehicular homicide. He's being held in the Adams County Jail. The intersection of 80th and Federal was closed for about 8 hours during that incident investigation. It's a big day for a group of four Carson-based soldiers. About 125 members of the 183rd Maintenance Company have returned home from Iraq. They're on break for up to 30 days. The soldiers have been in the Middle East for the past 8 months. In national news, a once popular diet supplement being banned from the nation's store shelves. U.S. Food and Drug regulators announced today they've begun steps to forbid the sale of Ephedra. The FDA is suing consumer alerts, or is issuing, rather, consumer alerts at the time when most people are making their New Year's resolutions to try to lose weight. Head of cattle roaming in the U.S. that may have been exposed to mad cow disease, now number 81. Meantime, the cow that was infected was old enough at the time of slaughter to have eaten tainted feed from before the government banned cattle remains as a key ingredient in livestock rations. Convicted Oklahoma City bombing co-conspirator Terry Nichols is headed back to court today. His defense team is expected to ask for a delay and a move of his state murder trial set to begin March 1st. Nichols has been charged with 161 counts of first-degree murder in connection with the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. In sports, the Avs took a 2-0 lead in the first period of last night's game against Vancouver, but came from ahead to lose 3-2. Vancouver came back with two goals in the third period, including a goal from former Avalanche player Mike Keane. The Avs head off to Calgary tomorrow to take on the Flames. The Nuggets are hosting the Raptors tonight. They're coming off a crushing victory over Golden State over the weekend. Denver is now 19-11, and this game tonight will be at the Can, 7 o'clock start time. Surf the Internet up to 5 times faster than standard dial-up with Net Zero High Speed, just $14.95 a month, including pop-up blocker. Call 877-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com. Today, traffic and the exclusive Weather Channel forecaster, both straight ahead. KNRC News time is 12:04.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapaho Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Heat & Glow.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Heat & Glow.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Get a Heat & Glow. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
KNRC News time is now 12:05. Here's Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Albertsons, and we're cleaning up a couple problems. We had a bit of an injury accident northbound I-25 at Evans. Also, Colorado and Bayard should be up and out of the way. Got a stall northbound I-25 at 6th Avenue, and then on 6th eastbound, got a stall that's in traffic a bit. It's going to be between Sheridan and Federal. Stop by Albertsons on your way home. Save on beef rib steaks, only $4.99 a pound with your preferred card. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to stay at above average temperatures through the first day of 2004. Today getting up to 48, our average 43. We're going to see lots of sun, just a few clouds. Later on tonight down to 21 degrees. And for tomorrow, lots of sun, just a few clouds, 51. You're headed out to celebrate tomorrow night. We're looking at partly cloudy skies, lows in the low to mid-20s, and New Year's Day, 51, and lots of sunshine. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Right now, sunshine, 48 degrees. KNRC News time is now 12:06. I'm Connor James. Our next news coming up at 12:30 or as it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:06, 6 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Not only are we post-Christmas, post-San Francisco, but pre-New Year's. What I'm saying is more in 04. So I hope it's really a good New Year for everybody. But, you know, I think that New Year's Eve is Amateur's Night Out. We'll talk about that as we go along today, and we'll certainly talk about that tomorrow. But I could not resist looking at a story in today's Rocky Mountain News. It's an Associated Press story that the FBI, here we are on an orange alert, and the FBI is alerting people. The FBI is warning police nationwide to be alert for people carrying almanacs, cautioning that the popular reference books covering everything from abbreviations to weather trends could be used for terrorist planning. I think this is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard in my life. Next, if you're carrying the Encyclopedia Britannica, that's going to be a dead giveaway that you're probably a terrorist. And now that this has been issued as an alert, anybody who really is a terrorist is probably not going to be walking around with his farmer's almanac under his arm. And joining us to comment on this is John Pierce, who is the publisher of the Old Farmer's Almanac. John Pierce, thank you so much for coming on the show today. John? Hi.
Hi.
Are you there?
I think we're
having a little bit of technical problems. Thank you.
Sorry.
No, it's on our end. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Talk to me about your response to hearing that the FBI is warning people if they're carrying the Old Farmer's Almanac under their arm that they would be viewed as suspicious characters, possible terrorists.
Well, just like you, when I first heard it, I hadn't actually read the text of the alert. Someone just called and asked. I thought it was a joke or a hoax. But then I was actually emailed a copy of the text, and as you indicate, the FBI is absolutely serious about this. So we, in turn, as you know, good citizens of this great country, feel we have to take it with some seriousness as well. But
well, what was their rationale? Why did they say the old farm? I mean, the Old Farmer's Almanac strikes me as a really benign, wonderful, old-time publication.
It's truly a wonderful publication, and you're absolutely right. I think. They're using the word almanac probably to reference all informational publications, but particularly the gazetteer-type almanacs that have statistical information about cities and metropolitan areas, states, counties, things like that. They have they list important geographical features and museums and things like that.
Yeah, but why not just say anybody who's carrying, what is the biggest encyclopedia that you can have? It would be Internet access. So anybody who's carrying a laptop could therefore be viewed with some suspicion using this line reason, of what laughingly refers to itself as reasoning.
Yes, you're absolutely right. No, anybody with access to detailed information, which certainly everyone with a laptop has. Yes, you're absolutely right. So we hope that people who love the Old Farmer's Almanac will see this as an extreme, you know, reaction with extreme caution. And
Will this publicity help the Old Farmer's Almanac in terms of sales, do you think?
Well, I hope it will make people think of the almanac just as you reference it, as a benign, fun, informative publication, and not as a a tool of doing evil or anything like that.
Well, we are going to be sent, and I think we've talked to some, and we'll be getting a review copy, and I hope soon, because I will read from parts of it on the air so that terrorists everywhere or people contemplating being a terrorist or just people in general can see what how silly this all is. I mean, any reference material that cites any geographical information would, under this line of thinking, be considered suspect.
Yes, you're right. And the ironic thing is that this is actually the second time in its history that the Almanac has been caught in a crossfire like this. During World War II, two spies were arrested on the Long Island Railroad, and one of them happened to have a copy of the Old Farmer's Almanac in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And the War Department, as a result, required us to stop publishing weather forecasts during wartime because they were convinced that's why the spy had the copy of the Old Farmer's Almanac. But if you think about it, I mean, there was someone who came in from a German submarine off the coast of Long Island. He probably had the almanac for the tide tables. But
well,
anyway.
Well, and also, if your weather reports are as accurate as anybody else's, forget about it.
Yeah.
I mean, these are people who get paid vast sums of money, particularly on television, to give us questionable information.
Yes.
So, when you looked at the text of the notice, what did it? Was there anything that leaped out? What did it actually say?
It says, anyone using an almanac type publication, these are common purveyors of statistical information, weather forecasts, weather information. I mean, they list all the different kinds of information you can get from various almanacs, and they said that in conjunction with other suspicious behavior, which they don't specifically outline in the alert, and I assume that's because police departments have been probably informed of that in prior alerts. But they specifically said people using the almanac and in an observational way could be considered suspects.
Well, I am glad that you joined us today, John Pierce, publisher of the Old Farmer's Almanac. I'm looking forward to receiving my copy so I can see just exactly how terroristic a publication the Old Farmer's Almanac really is for 2004. How much does it sell for?
It's $4.99 on newsstands, and you'll find a ton of information. And we do tell you best days in the astrological section, but I quickly thumbed through it to make sure we don't tell you best days for any kind of illegal activity, terrorist attack.
Well, if the horoscopes are as accurate as the weather reports, I'm sure that terrorists everywhere will be on high alert. So it is $4.99 on. You can buy it at the grocery store.
Yes.
In the check stand.
Yep. Walmart, Kmart, bookstores, really anywhere magazine.
And what does it have? It has the tides, it has the weather, astrological information.
Astrological and astronomical information, as well as general interest material on anniversaries of interest and a lot of gardening information as well, because an almanac has always been a tool for gardeners.
Well, and you never know when a terrorist might want to turn his spade into gardening. So
that's right.
John Pierce, thank you so much for joining us. John Pierce is the publisher of the Old Farmer's Almanac. Delighted that you could be with us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. Well, you just heard it. Is this unbelievable or what? This is the Old Farmer's Almanac, or any publication like it. The FBI is issuing an alert against almanac carriers. They can't do anything substantive. So if you are an ordinary citizen, you're going to be more and more surveilled. And they did call the Tattered Cover bookstore, the Rocky did, and a manager at the Tattered Cover was surprised to hear about the FBI's warning on almanacs. I'm really not clear about how a terrorist would use the book, Kim Clausen said, but I guess we have a little more paranoia than we had in the past. Neither the Tattered Cover store in Lodo nor the one in Cherry Creek has seen sales of the paperback soar or drop. We just sell them regularly. A Denver police spokesman said that the department received the warning, but he said police do not comment on how they internally handle such notices. Let's talk about this. I mean, this is the most absurd thing I have ever heard. That if you, this is, we are becoming like a fascist think police society under the name of terrorism if you're carrying any reference material at all. Suddenly you're going to be viewed with suspicion. So unless you're completely dumb and dumber, and then you're going to be Forrest, Forrest Gump, you'll be able to get through security with no questions asked. If you are carrying anything that looks like an almanac, you're going to be viewed with some suspicion. Now, let me just tell you something. Now that this is public, any terrorist who may actually be using an almanac, although we're not exactly certain why, maybe for the astrological information, would certainly tuck it away, rip the covers off of it, pick up a copy on the other end, not with him on the plane, or just rip out the sheets that he needed. Don't you think? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Jen, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
How are your holidays?
My holidays were wonderful.
Good. I just want to add a comment because I actually purchased an almanac for a Christmas gift this year, and I didn't find one. They've got the Old Farmer's one, Time Magazine's got one, there's a couple different ones, and I haven't seen one anywhere for less than like $12. But
I'm glad he said it was $4.99, but did you carry it with you on the plane?
No, you know, and I really wish I did now because a little extra attention would have been interesting in my Christmas holiday. But
I don't think you want that kind of attention.
Well, no. I just think that, you know, I mean, carrying something like that, you know, obviously would have to have other suspected, you know.
Maybe not. Maybe they have quotas. Maybe they have to turn so many people in. Maybe they have to make inquiries. But it's just another reason to hassle you. It's another reason to detain you. It's another reason to wand you 50 more times with that low-level whatever it is that they're wanding you with. Who knows what's in there? And if you value your health, you don't want to get wanded too often, I think.
Well, we got stopped pulling into the airport, and it was like a car full of blonde Irish people. We're like, oh, please, we're not, you know, you don't need to worry about us.
It doesn't matter. They're really, they move you along. They don't want you stopping. And you can't even do.
They went through everything. They took my son out of his car seat and pulled the cushion part of it up. And it was horrible. I was like, great. You know, it happened to a bunch of people, but it was just, it's so inconvenient, you know.
It is, and it's making air travel even worse. Thanks for the call, Jen. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I was flying when it was an orange alert. By the time I got to San Francisco, the alert level had risen. This was a week ago. And on the way back, the alert level was still high, and I didn't notice a huge difference. But then if you fly a lot, then you learn to practically strip down. When you're going through the security line, You take your shoes off because there could be some metal in your shoes. It'll set off the metal detector. I take off, I wear clothes that have no metal in them. I take off anything that has a zipper or a metal button because who knows what'll set off. I even take my watch off and all the jewelry that I'm wearing. I take all of that off so that all I'm wearing is stuff that, as far as I know, has no metal in it. And I just sail through, and I'm happy to do that because I don't really like to be wanded. I'm guessing that if you keep being wanted all the time, it's not really good for you. I don't know if that's true, but I don't think it's great for you. So here we are. The FBI fears almanacs may aid terrorists. It urges the police to report suspicious use. The FBI is warning police nationwide to be alert for people carrying almanacs, cautioning that the popular reference books covering everything from abbreviations to weather trends could be used for terrorist planning. But so could anything on the Internet be used. And you could access much of this information on the Internet. So next, will they look at you suspiciously if you're carrying a laptop? 303-382-1150. Does this make us safer? Does it make you feel safer to know that if somebody's carrying an almanac, they could be a terrorist? Well, talk about the scarlet letter A. You've got an almanac under your arm. You're practically letting the feds know that they should search your belongings. It's absurd. I'm sure the terrorists, especially after this, if they were even using the almanacs, I'm sure that after this public warning, they are not going to be carrying around any farmer's almanacs. So you know who's going to get hassled? Ordinary citizens who don't realize that they're not supposed to be carrying one of these things around, that they're not supposed to be doing any reference work. I think maybe this is a backdoor plot by the government to keep people from being smart, to keep them dumb and dumber. Don't look anything up. Don't do any reference work. Don't do any homework. Don't carry an almanac, because if you do, we'll think that you're a terrorist. Is this absurd? 303-382-1150. I think this is the most incompetent administration, and this is yet another example of it. I have to tell you that being in San Francisco, here's what they're doing. Because the alert level is at orange, in order to go across the Golden Gate Bridge, they're diverting all truck traffic. All truck traffic on the Marin side stops in at Spencer in Sausalito, and the CHP is there with a couple of, there's a couple of squad cars, cruisers, and there's some vans. I don't know what they've got there. And they inspect excuse me, all the trucks that are going to go across the Golden Gate Bridge trying to head off any kind of a terrorist incident. Ahead of me was a big moving truck who I saw, you know, moving off to that Sausalito exit to be examined by the CHP, the California Highway Patrol. And I thought, these two CHP officers, how in the world can the two of them inspect this whole huge moving van? What it does actually is to put terrorists on notice. If you try to do something, there will be some inspection process and you are taking some risk, however minimal it may be. But here were just two CHP officers for this enormous moving truck. How you inspect it, God only knows. I can't even imagine how that would happen. We just sort of shot by, so I don't know how they do it. But what they are requiring is that trucks en route from the Marin side, and I imagine also from the San Francisco side, from the Marin side going, entering the Golden Gate Bridge, they do get diverted for some sort of an inspection process. 303-382-1150. But now our FBI... That's what they, this is how we're being protected from terrorism. If you're carrying a farmer's almanac or any kind of a reference book, any kind of a reference work, maybe even if you have the Encyclopedia Britannica, you could be viewed with some suspicion. That means that everybody's feeling like eyes are on them. And this is exactly what it was like in a communist society, where you could be ratted out by somebody who hated you. Somebody who doesn't like you could call the authorities and accuse you of being a terrorist. I mean, think about the implications here. You could be traveling somewhere and you're innocently carrying some reference work that somebody thinks makes you a suspicious-looking person, so you're therefore hassled at the airport. What kind of a society are we becoming? And that isn't even the worst of it. It gets even worse. On the day that Saddam Hussein was captured, President Bush effectively consigned a dramatic expansion of the USA Patriot Act while nobody was looking. He did this on a Saturday. He hasn't signed anything on a Saturday for more than a year. But he did it when Saddam Hussein was brought in. And wait till you find out what it is he has signed off on. You will be amazed. As we continue, I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, my name is Allison, and I met my fiancé Daniel at eHarmony.com.
My name is Rob, and I met my wife on eHarmony.com.
My name is Brenda, and I met my fiancé Tom on eHarmony.com.
There's a reason why couples who meet on eHarmony.com are falling in love and getting married. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Successful relationships always begin with broad-based compatibility. That's why at eHarmony.com we match you based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It helps you to figure out you, then it helps you to find that person that you are most compatible with.
You're learning intimate things about the person right from the very beginning.
There's a depth to eHarmony that the other sites don't have.
Log on to eHarmony.com and see for yourself why more eHarmony.com matches result in marriage than any online dating service. Do it right now and get your $40 personality profile free.
Some people prefer the right wing. Others prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Our diverse lineup of talk show hosts features more viewpoints and perspectives than any other Denver talk station. Join Greg Dobbs from 6 to 10 a.m. Bill O'Reilly from 10 to noon. Enid Goldstein from noon to 3. Doug Kellen from 3 to 6. Dominic and Bill from 6 to 9 p.m. Lionel from 9 to midnight, followed by Alan Combs. Get your side. Get their side. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1224 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. We're in the waning days of 2003 as we anticipate 2004. I'll be talking to you about your New Year's plans and mine, in case I have any, although I think it's amateur's night out. I always have a night that never lives up to your expectations. What we're talking about, and if you're just joining us, we had the publisher of the Old Farmer's Almanac, on. But the FBI fears that almanacs might be aiding terrorists, so they're urging police to report anybody who's, if you're in line, you know, if you're at the airport and you've got a, if you're clutching your copy of the Old Farmer's Almanac under your arm, guess what? You could be viewed with some suspicion. I think this is ridiculous. 303-382-1150. Lisa calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi there, Enid. How are you today?
I'm good, Lisa.
Good. Hey, I only have a comment on the caller you had just a minute ago that was complaining about her car being searched at the airport.
Right.
And, well, I'm a flight attendant, so I fly quite a bit. And every day I hear people whining and complaining about the security and having to take their belts and their shoes off. And I, for one, being in the airline industry, fully support it. And I am so tired of people whining about how it's all about them and their life being inconvenienced because they have to untie their shoes at security. And, you know, I would just like to ask that lady if all those 3,000 people that died on 9/11 wouldn't have minded the inconvenience of taking their shoes off to avoid what happened. I'm just tired of people complaining and the complacency that's happening now. They've forgotten about 9/11, and it just angers me quite a bit.
Well, also, I want to say something. 9/11, according to Thomas Keene, who's a Republican, former governor of New Jersey, head of the 9/11 commission, he said could have and should have been prevented. And that wouldn't be simply by taking your shoes off at the airport. Our government failed us in a big way, and no head rolled, not one. Lisa, though, let me ask you.
Yes.
Somebody carrying something like a reference book, an almanac, there's a bunch of them around. I think I've got one upstairs. They do almanacs every year. I forget what they're called. Such and such almanac, and I know New York Times has got one, and of course there's the Old Farmer's Almanac. What do you think about that? Somebody carrying something like that suddenly it's a tip off that you might be a terrorist because you're looking at the weather charts or the tide charts.
Right. I think it's pretty ridiculous to, like you said earlier, announce that in the public because now all they're going to do is ditch their almanacs. And I think that the Internet's probably a lot more informative than an almanac anyway. So
all it does is put ordinary citizens under surveillance
sure.
and feel like Big Brother is watching you.
Sure.
That's all that does.
I agree with that. I don't have an understanding of why they're making everybody freak out about almanacs now. I think it's
the beginning of a really slippery and very dangerous slope where more and more free speech is shut down. There are examples when if you say very innocuous things, the Secret Service comes knocking at your door. If you are carrying a farmer's almanac or some kind of a reference book, you could be viewed with some suspicion.
Right.
Our civil liberties are getting tamped down. So I don't think this is a really good sign. And what I think it also says inadvertently, it says that the FBI hasn't got a clue. And so they are stooping viewing with suspicion almanac carriers. I just don't think they have anything else going. If they did, you wouldn't be hearing announcements like this.
I agree.
I thank you, Lisa, for the call.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. Have a good holiday. 303-382-1150. I want to share with you this information, which I don't think you probably heard very much about while I was gone. But here's what happened. On December 13, when U.S. forces captured Saddam Hussein, President George Bush not only celebrated with his new national security team, but he also pulled out his pen and signed into law a bill that grants the FBI sweeping new powers, including viewing you with suspicion if you're carrying around an almanac. A White House spokesperson explained the curious timing of the signing on a Saturday as, quote, the president signs bills 7 days a week. But the last time Bush signed a bill into law on a Saturday happened more than a year ago on a spending bill that the president needed to sign to prevent shutting down the federal government the following Monday. By signing the bill on the day of Hussein's capture, Bush effectively consigned a dramatic expansion of the USA Patriot Act to being simply a mere footnote. While most Americans watched as Hussein was probed for head lice, few were aware that the FBI had just obtained the power to probe your financial records. Your financial records can be probed by the FBI even if the feds don't suspect your involvement in a crime or terrorism. So here is what has happened. Even if you are not suspected of any involvement in a crime or any act of terrorism, your financial information can be probed. The Bush administration The Bush administration and its congressional allies tucked away new executive powers in what is called the Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal year 2004. They made it an intelligence issue, so then there wouldn't be any public comment and no public scrutiny. The act includes a simple yet insidious redefinition of, quote, financial institution, which previously referred only to banks, but now includes stockbrokers, car dealerships, casinos, credit card companies, insurance agencies, jewelers, airlines, the U.S. Post Office, and any other business whose cash transactions have a high degree of usefulness in criminal tax or regulatory matters. Congress passed the legislation around Thanksgiving, and a lot of representatives voted for it. The Senate passed it with a voice vote to avoid individual accountability. While broadening the definition of financial institution, the Bush administration is ramping up provisions within the 2001 Patriot Act, which grants the FBI the authority to obtain client records from banks by merely requesting the records in, quote, a national security letter. And if the feds request that information on you in what's called a national security letter, if the bank in any way lets you know that that has happened, the bank is liable for big penalties because there's a gag order on this stuff preventing any financial institution from informing its clients that their records have been surrendered to the FBI. So the FBI can come in. They've redefined what a financial institution means, and now they've redefined it to mean just about anything. So the FBI can send to the financial institution, to the bank, let's say your bank, what is called a national security letter. If your bank ever reveals that to you, that you are requesting your data, your information, the bank is subject to huge penalties. And they don't even have to, in order to write this letter, the FBI doesn't have to even have probable cause. To get the records, the FBI does not have to appear before a judge, does not have to demonstrate probable cause. It doesn't have to demonstrate any reason to believe that the targeted client is involved in criminal or terrorist activity. They can just get all your financial records from the bank. Moreover, the national security letters are attached with a gag order preventing any financial institution from informing its clients that the records have been surrendered to the FBI. If a financial institution breaches that gag order, it faces criminal penalties. And finally, the FBI will no longer be required to report to Congress how often they have used these national security letters. So there is no oversight on the FBI in the use of these national security letters. It gets worse. This broadening of the Patriot Act represents a political victory for the Bush administration's stealth, everything they're doing is stealth, legislative strategy to increase executive power. Last February, this is why you have different branches of government, and this is so that one form of power is checked by the other form, but you have everything now in the hands of the Republicans. This was so unwise. This is so detrimental for a democracy, and you are now seeing exactly why that is. This is broadening of the executive power in a stealth way so people aren't aware of it. Last February, shortly before Bush launched the war in Iraq, the Center for Public Integrity obtained a draft of comprehensive expansion of the Patriot Act, nicknamed Patriot Act 2, written by Attorney General John Ashcroft's staff. Again, the timing was suspicious. It appeared that the Bush administration was waiting for the start of the Iraq war to introduce Patriot Act 2 and then exploit the crisis to ram it through Congress with little public debate. The leak and the ensuing public backlash frustrated the Bush administration's strategy, so Ashcroft and company disassembled Patriot Act 2. They then reassembled its parts into other legislation by attaching the redefinition of financial institution to an Intelligence Authorization Act. The Bush administration and its congressional allies avoided public hearings and floor debates for the expansion of the Patriot Act. In other words, by redefining what is called a financial institution and putting it under the umbrella of an Intelligence Authorization Act, it means it's an intelligence matter, and therefore it can't, they avoid public debate. No sunshine here. The Bush administration has yet to answer pivotal questions about its latest constitutional coup. If these new executive powers are necessary to protect the U.S., then why, the U.S. citizens, then why would the legislation not withstand the test of public debate? If the new act's provisions are in the public interest, why use stealth in ramming them through the legislative process? And they are attaching all kinds of riders to other bills that are trying to reassemble Patriot Act 2, because when people found out what was in the Patriot Act 2, they went ballistic. And so the administration had to scramble big time. So while they were bringing in Saddam Hussein, these huge expansion of powers for the FBI, Another extension of the Patriot Act happened under the dead of night in the stealth of underneath the radar. 303-382-1150. Rob, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Just curious, where's the source of your information?
My source of my information is a number of publications, but including among them the San Antonio Current.
Okay.
The San Antonio newspaper.
I'm just wondering why you or nobody else would reveal the fact that all this, all these act or directives are still subject to judicial review. You still have to have a judge to sign a warrant.
You don't. Not anymore.
No, you do.
No.
It's called a FISA court, the Federal... Federal Intelligence.
No, let me. I'm going to tell you something. No, that's not. That's not true. According to this reporting, the act they have redefined.
Well, I don't care about the reporting.
Excuse me, Rob. Excuse me. I want you to get your facts right here. What is being reported is that there's a gag order. That there's no probable cause that's necessary. You don't have to go before a judge in order to execute one of these things. And there, you don't have to do anything, and there's no oversight. Nobody adds up how many of these letters, these national security letters, are ever issued in a year. So there's virtually no oversight, as far as I can see. Yes.
Give me a media source. Give me the facts.
I'm giving you the facts, Rob. If
no,
you have other
read
facts,
read me the law. Read me the law.
Do you have the law in front of you? Are you an
no,
attorney?
I'm in a car.
Well, I'm telling you what the story is here. That
well,
there
I
is
hear
no.
You, I hear you referring to another media outlet. I don't care what the other media outlet says. I want to know what the facts are. And the other media outlet is not telling people that all this stuff is still subject to multiple levels of bureaucratic review before it even gets to an intelligence.
Why should I believe you? I'm giving you the newspapers reporting on it, and here is what they say. To get these records from your bank, now listen closely, to get the records, the FBI does not have to appear before a judge, so there's no judicial review here. It does not have to demonstrate probable cause. It does not have to demonstrate reason to believe that the targeted client is involved in criminal or terrorist activity. Moreover, there's a gag order on these letters, so your financial institution, if it reveals this to you, is subject to criminal penalties, and the FBI is no longer going to be required to report to Congress how often they have used these national security letters. So, Rob, I think you need to get your facts straight. 303-382-1150. The lines are full. I think there's one line open. Hang with me. As we continue, I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Steve Smith. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good afternoon to the rest of you. Under sunny skies, it is 56 degrees downtown. I am Steve Smith, and this report is a service of BMW. The man who is the only announced suspect in the fire that destroyed the Spanish Gate apartment complex in Glendale was in court yesterday. 22-year-old Blake Jeffrey Fieber could face charges of first-degree murder, first-degree arson, and felony criminal mischief. Formal charges won't be filed until the investigation is complete. One unidentified woman died. There has only been one skiing fatality in Colorado so far this year. That's down from six at this time last year. An 84-year-old man died December 19th after an accident at Vail. Officials aren't sure why the number of deaths is so much lower this year. They say it could be more postings of warnings and rules, or that people are just paying closer attention to the areas around them on the slopes. Could the flu rampage be on the decline? The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment released the latest figures on the flu yesterday. Only 720 new cases were confirmed in the last week. There were about 1,500 confirmed in the previous week. 11 children died of flu or flu complications this year. Cut through snow and ice easier than ever. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about our all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, the X5 and the new BMW X3. KNRC News Time is 12:38. Traffic and the exclusive Weather Channel forecast are next.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Get a classic start on your New Year's Eve celebration at Betcher Concert Hall with A Night in Vienna, featuring Strauss, Mozart, and more on Wednesday, December 31st at 7:30 p.m. Tickets available at all King Super's Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC News Time is 12:40. Darren Copeland is in the KNRC Traffic Center with a check on the lunch hour drive.
Well, this traffic report is sponsored by Net Zero High Speed. Northbound I-25 approaching Evans. Had a couple accidents there. Watch out for that. They still may be involved. Northbound I-25 at 58th, we have an accident. And an accident involving a pedestrian. Sounds like a pedestrian was hit by a tow truck in the area of Broadway at I-25. Surf the internet up to 5 times faster than standard dial-up with Net Zero High Speed. Just $14.95 a month, including pop-up blocker. Call 877-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com today. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. With temperatures today even milder than yesterday, this most excellent trend continues for us. Plenty of sunshine, highs around 55 today, 21 for the overnight low tonight. Partly cloudy in the low 50s again tomorrow. Low to mid-20s on New Year's Eve and low 50s on Thursday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Right now, sunny skies and 56 degrees in Denver. KNRC News Time is 12:41. I'm Steve Smith. The next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Brenda at Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits is here with me. And Brenda, I need your help about champagne. For example, I need some good bottles for gifts, an inexpensive one to drink with friends, maybe even an expensive case to throw a party or two.
Well, Doug, I've got sparkling wine and champagne to fit all three of those categories. I've got Paris Cuvée and Nicolas Feuillat, Paul Justine and Raja Colon, and Tino, all wonderful, under $30, in the $10 to $15 range, some Spanish Cavas. Cava is made like real champagne. They require them to use quality grapes, and they do real second fermentation. Avino Cava, Marques de Galida. And then for toasts, I've also got an inexpensive Cava for $6.49 a bottle called Marques de Monastrell. It's a wonderful bottle of wine, wonderful bottle of sparkling.
Well, Brenda, I knew you'd have the right answer. Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits, convenient location, 12th and Broadway.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's indexes are parked in modest negative territory, though market breadth is positive on the big board and the NASDAQ. Advancers leading decliners at both exchanges. Right now, the Dow is down 24, S&P 500 losing 1, the NASDAQ down 3. The mild losses follow 3 economic disappointments, 3 reports, consumer confidence, existing home sales, and manufacturing in the Chicago region, all coming lower than Wall Street predictions. Stock in one maker of dietary supplements is losing 13% today, following the FDA's announcement it's banning all products containing ephedra. But Advantage Marketing says the ban should not hurt its sales. The company has a plan to convert ephedra users to similar non-ephedra products. Ephedra has been linked with severe side effects, including the death of a Baltimore Orioles pitcher during spring training this year. Once again, the Dow is down 24 points. NASDAQ losing 2.5. Trading volume on the big board is light, 650 million shares. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1243 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and it is with great pleasure that I let you know that we're going to be joined later in the broadcast by my good friend Marion Cunningham. Her new book is called Lost Recipes, Meals to Share with Friends and Family. Around this time of year, we should know all about that. And I had dinner with her in San Francisco, and I have lots of tales to tell. It's a wonderful book. The illustrations, everything about it is great. And she really is talking about the breakdown in civilization because nobody eats together anymore. But we'll talk about that as we continue. What we're talking about now is the day that they brought in Saddam Hussein on a Saturday. President Bush, George W. Dick Bush, I'm calling him Dick because now that puts two Dicks in the White House, but probably in his case it could be an overstatement. In any event, On a Saturday, he's never really done this before except once before on a bill. He signed on a Saturday because if he hadn't signed on a Saturday, the federal government, it was a spending bill, would have been shut down on the following Monday. So he had to do that. But when they brought in Saddam Hussein, under cover of those lice in his beard, what Bush effectively did was to sign an extension of the Patriot II Act, or the Patriot Act. And they have cleverly done is to redefine... they called it insidiously done, is to redefine what a financial institution is. It previously referred pretty much to banks. It now includes almost anything else you can think of, stockbrokers, car dealerships, casinos, even the U.S. Post Office, any other businesses whose cash transactions have a high degree of usefulness in criminal tax or regulatory matters. Now, what's being reported here is that they passed this on a voice vote so there would be no individual accountability. You can't find out how your senator voted for it. What they have done is they've broadened the definition of financial institution and have ramped up the provisions within the Patriot Act so that they can request your information, your financial information from your banks. All they have to do is send out what's called a national security letter. But if your financial institution says that that letter was received inquiring about your information, they face criminal penalties. So they are under a gag order. You're never going to know. And they don't really have to have probable cause to get the records from your bank. The FBI does not have to appear before a judge, according to this story, does not have to demonstrate probable cause, does not have to demonstrate that the targeted client is involved in criminal or terrorist activity. And furthermore, the FBI is no longer going to be required to report to Congress how often they have issued these national security letters. What this effectively does is it makes the executive branch much stronger, ramps it up, gives it more power, and it does it in stealthy conditions. There's been no public debate here. They have, when everybody found out what was the provisions were going to be in the Patriot II Act, they went ballistic. And so what the Bush administration has done is to reassemble it in a rider here, a bill there, stuff that they are signing under cover of night. 303-382-1150. Bernie, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid?
Yes, Bernie, welcome.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you.
The next step is that if you complain, there will be retribution. And that will be the next step in creating a situation where the Patriot Act and invasion of privacy will do away with all tenets of English law. Even... your home being your castle will no longer.
You know, I'm intrigued by the people who are big Second Amendment fans. They think that the government's going to come bursting into their home with guns blazing, and so they better be armed. But that isn't how it happens. It happens like this, one little thing incrementally, one little thing at a time. And if they want your financial information from the bank, and the bank faces criminal penalties if they ever inform you of it, and you happen to be carrying a farmer's almanac, don't ask. They're going to throw you in the pokey and throw away the key.
What amazes me is, what was your previous caller defending, Bob? I mean, is he defending the right of the FBI to go to his bank for any reason whatsoever?
He's saying that there's more judicial review than this story indicates.
There is not in the case of the Patriot Act. Not in this case. You're absolutely right.
Are you an attorney, Bernie?
I am not an attorney, but I am, you know... I'm in every source that I can get my hands on, and this is really something that will, if the Democrats are right, and if they can prevail in getting a suitable candidate before the people, the issue of economics, which is fallacious, there is no economic rebound. Absolutely, this is a multinational corporate rebound, and in the stock market, it's not affecting the squeeze on middle America. There are still 9 million joblessness out there, including in Colorado, where it is still at about 6%. And the seasonal unemployment, the seasonal turnaround in unemployment was strictly due to the Christmas holidays, and that is going to reverse itself. But the entire package that we have before us can absolutely, if we work at it, can absolutely...
I want to jump in here. And Bernie, I thank you for the call. The head of the Democratic Party is not going to do anything about stopping the attacks on Howard Dean, so these Democrats are going to have to slug it out amongst themselves. And what's going to happen if all things remaining equal for the moment, I think that leaves the door open for the Republicans to have another 4 years, and I hope that that doesn't happen, because Howard Dean was quoted today as saying that this is the most dangerous and reckless administration he can ever recall, and I would agree with him. Signing something like this under the cover of night, you lose your civil liberties one at a time. And not Bernie, but the caller before Bernie, who seemed to be bent out of shape, who said that there was some judicial review. I don't think that there is, not according to the reporting that I'm seeing on this process. And I guess it's sort of like if you voted for George W. Bush, you're so in love with him, you're so in love with the country that you don't want to think it's going down the wrong road that it's going down. Roger, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Roger.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
What's on your mind, Roger? We're on the air.
I was just wondering, what's your background on security anyway?
Tell me what your point is.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been in the aircraft business for about 21 years. And in my estimation, I'm just grateful that we have a team in place that set up these things to prevent any further happenings like we had with 9/11.
So, wait a minute. It's okay for the government to come in and request all your financial information without ever letting you know it, criminalizing the bank if they ever reveal to you that you have been a target. They don't ever have to have probable cause. They don't even have to have a reason. They never have to go before a judge to get a warrant, and they never have to account to Congress. This is okay with you, Roger?
Let me tell you something.
I'm asking you a question. Is that okay with you? As an American in a democracy, is that kind of behavior okay with you?
It's absolutely. And I'll tell you one thing. If they would have looked a little harder, we wouldn't have had an Enron, and we wouldn't have had some of these other problems that's going on in this country. I've had my share of problems.
You've got Enron. You've got Kenneth Lay, who is the biggest contributor to George W. Bush. He's the guy who got him into the White House. And you have a Republican governor, head of the 9/11 commission, that said 9/11 was preventable. It didn't have to happen, and it shouldn't have happened. And you want to believe that this administration is doing everything for you that it can?
I'll tell you what. I don't mind taking my shoes off at the airport. I don't mind the government looking into whatever they need to look into.
All right, we'll leave it there, Roger. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150, Robin on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Welcome back, Enid.
Thank you.
I hope that I can get through this and say what I have to say the right way. Hang with me.
We don't have much time, so you got to cut to the chase.
I know. It is amazing to me right now as a Native American citizen, sitting back listening to middle class WASP America bemoaning the fact that their rights have been taken away. That the indignity that people seem to spew right now about the government busting into their business, about the FBI being able to do things that they never anticipated them being able to do without due process, has been going on in this country for many, many, many administrations, Enid. And this is a life experience for, you know, Mary and Joe Smith, average Americans.
So you're saying that when they finally have realized, when this has come into their radar,
that's right,
now they're becoming indignant. But if you've been paying attention all the way through, you would have seen the erosions of civil liberties going on.
Exactly.
Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. The erosions of civil liberties have been going on for a long, long time.
But this
time.
Is no justification for eroding civil liberties.
Absolutely not. And there is never any justification for eroding civil liberties. But it is time that the people take a look at what it is that is happening to them, that has happened to people of color in this country for 200 years.
Robin, I thank you very much. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. I want to thank all our customers and wish them a happy and safe holiday season. Naming a star with StarRegistry.com is one of the most memorable gifts you can ever give. For almost 25 years, we have provided this magical gift to celebrities, dignitaries, even the royal family. For only $54, it's perfect for any occasion and will never be forgotten. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
This ski season, save money on lift tickets with the Colorado Gems card and the 5th grade passport. Two great offers available on the internet at coloradoski.com. With the Colorado Gems card, you get discounts on lift tickets and other special offers good throughout the ski season. With the 5th grade passport, 5th graders ski and board for no charge at 23 Colorado resorts. The Colorado Gems card and the 5th grade passport, sponsored by Colorado Ski Country USA and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
RAD, Recording Artists, Actors, and Athletes Against Drunk Driving, says don't take your lifestyle on the road. Designate before you celebrate. Learn more at RADD.org.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the 3-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
12:55 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live as we inch our way into the new year. We're talking about the extension of the Patriot Act that was signed under stealth conditions on a Saturday just after Saddam Hussein was hauled in. And it's been reported in the English press that actually he was somebody tipped off Kurds, and they're the ones who kidnapped him, drugged him, and left him for the Americans. So it wasn't even the Americans, allegedly, that brought him in. 303-382-1150. Bill in Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, I've got an almanac, and I'm not afraid to use it.
I was going to ask you, was that an almanac in your pocket, or you're just happy to see me?
I'm just happy to see you back. Yeah. Now you can write off the San Francisco trip. You booked a guest. I'm impressed. You're good.
I hadn't thought of that, but that was good.
There you go.
You gave me an idea, Bill.
There. I actually found out about this banking thing last week from a coworker whose husband is a vice president at a bank, and it was really alarming to her because her mother is an 81-year-old. German war bride, basically. Mm-hmm. And she said this is exactly the way the Nazis came to power. Targeting people of certain nationalities, getting into financial records.
And you never know it. It's like when they go into the libraries and want to know what you've been reading, and if the librarian ever rats them out, the librarian of the library is subject to penalties.
And so many people like Rob and Roger and the airline lady are so happy to trade their freedom for security. And this is exactly
Benjamin Franklin who said, if you trade freedom for security, you have neither.
But this is exactly why there were cheering crowds along the streets when Hitler came to power, because people felt more secure. And these people's view of the Constitution is troubling, too. It's apparently only a fair-weather document. It's good when things are fine. But if there's a threat, you throw it out the window and you do whatever it takes.
Exactly.
Isn't that troubling to
anybody? They did a poll not too long ago on whether or not people would want the First Amendment if they had to vote on it now, and a lot of people wouldn't. So we're going to have to leave it there, Bill. I thank you so much for the call. 303-322-1150. Steve on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I hope you had happy holidays.
Thank you.
New year, except for one day next November.
Yes, Steve.
Well, you know I'm going to be calling you the next day, so just be prepared.
I hope that you're depressed the next day.
No, I think you and I both know that's unlikely.
We don't know. A lot can happen between now and then.
All right, so let's try and be civil here.
We actually only have about a minute, so tell me
all
quick.
Right.
Sorry about that.
If you're this upset about the almanac thing, and we're post 9/11, Ian, what could the government have done pre 9/11 that you would have found acceptable?
They could have paid attention to their own intelligence reports, and the head of the 9/11 commission, a Republican, former governor of New Jersey, says that 9/11 was preventable, didn't have to happen, and shouldn't
Correct.
Have happened. Now, he's the guy who's looking at all the documents. I'm not, and if he's saying that and he's a Republican, I think you have to pay attention to it.
Well, right, but don't you think that what we're dealing with right now is the attempts to prevent something from happening again? I mean, we clearly could have.
I am very much in favor of preventing things happening again, but I think these are such dopey ideas. They are about stepping on our own civil liberties and not really protecting. How about protecting our ports? How about bringing back our first responders so that we have a National Guard here? How about some really things that would really shore up? How about money for Homeland Security in Colorado? A lot of jurisdictions can't even afford hazmat suits.
I agree, but let's keep in mind.
But here's the thing that people don't realize. Well, they think that Bush is decisive because he does something, even if it's completely wrongheaded and absolutely antithetical to creating real security. As long as he acts, they think he's doing a great job.
Well, but here's the thing, and we obviously don't have enough time to get into it. That is your opinion, and you're entitled to it. But as you and I have gone round and round before, clearly, there are things that the Bush has done that I don't like, but the fact that you say that it's not making us more secure, it doesn't make it fact.
We'll talk about that, Steve. We're going to have to leave it there. I thank you for the call. Two more hours of Enid. Lucky Tuesday edition, right here on AM 1150. Coming up, leave it right here.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
And good afternoon. Under sunny skies, it's 56 degrees downtown. I'm Steve Smith. This report is service of Aleve, cold, and sinus. The autopsy report for Heather DeWild won't be public knowledge, at least not yet. A Jefferson County judge sided with the Jeffco coroner. He asked that the report be sealed for at least another 3 months so the Colorado Bureau of Investigation could finish some tests and so that some other investigations could be completed. DeWild was murdered after she disappeared July 24th. Her body was found 6 weeks later along U.S. Highway 6. No suspects have been named. This is a big day for a group of Fort Carson-based soldiers. About 125 members of the 183rd Maintenance Company have returned home from Iraq. They're on break for up to a month. The soldiers have been in the Middle East for the past 8 months. A woman from Colorado Springs has died after an apparent fall off a wall in New Mexico. Officials say the woman, Aisha Idowu, seemed to have been in a hurry and slipped. She hit her head on a bench. They say she had her 2-year-old daughter in her SUV as she apparently tried to get into the locked Glorieta Conference Center. The daughter was unharmed. Idowu was walking in the snow without shoes, but she did have socks on her feet. The incident happened off I-25 in Santa Fe County. Officials say there were no signs of foul play. Flu cases appear to be dropping in Colorado and in Texas, but the Texas news is overshadowed by the news of deaths of 2 children from flu complications. Dr. Sheldon Kaplan with Texas Children's Hospital told KHOU television a bacteria known as MRSA played a role in the deaths. Even so, Dr. Kaplan says there's no need to panic.
You might, as a parent, just ask the physician if you've heard about MRSA and do you think that this could be the case in my particular child's case.
A third child, a baby suffering from the flu, remains in critical condition at the hospital. Attorney General John Ashcroft has stepped down from a probe into who leaked the name of an undercover CIA operative. In an afternoon news conference, Deputy Attorney General James Comey announced the investigation will now be assigned to the U.S. Attorney General in Chicago. He is Patrick Fitzgerald.
The Attorney General, in an abundance of caution, believed that his recusal was appropriate based on the totality of the circumstances and the facts and evidence developed at this stage of the investigation. I agree with that judgment.
The investigation centers on who disclosed the identity of a CIA officer whose husband questioned President Bush's claim about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction threat. Cities across the nation are hoping for the best but preparing for the worst heading into New Year's Eve celebrations. With the nation's terror level threat at high, temporary flight restrictions are in place over Las Vegas, Nevada, New York's Times Square, and downtown Chicago. Stocks are mixed with an hour of trading to go in the day. The Dow is down 22 points to 10,427. The NASDAQ is down 0.2 points to 2005. The S&P is down 1.5 to 1108. In sports, the Denver Nuggets host Toronto tonight at the Pepsi Center, game time 7 o'clock. The Nuggets are coming off a victory over the Golden State Warriors. Denver has a record of 19-11. Toronto goes into the game shorthanded. The Raptors had to place forward Lamond Murray on the injured list today because of a sore lower back. The 30-year-old Murray averaged 8.6 points and 3.4 rebounds in 17 games. He can come off the disabled list January 11th when Toronto faces the Portland Trail Blazers. Toronto also activated center Minky Batir from the injured list. The 28-year-old center had been on the injured list since December 16th with a strained left knee. Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus and get 12 hours of relief from your tough cold symptoms with just one pill, Aleve Cold and Sinus. Traffic and the exclusive Weather Channel forecaster next. KRNRC News Time is 104.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Don't miss one of R&B's most popular vocalists live in concert with the CSO. Lou Rawls performs for the first time ever with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra on January 2nd and 3rd at Betcher Concert Hall. Tickets available at all King Super's Tickets West outlets and online at www.coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC News Time is 105. Darren Copeland is in the KNRC Traffic Center with a check on the traffic.
This traffic report brought to you by BMW. And northbound I-225 is going to be the latest problem. Have an accident there with all sorts of emergency vehicles on scene. They've got it pretty much over to the shoulder, but you will see some immediate slowing. Might have a second accident northbound I-25 at Evans. It's been a trouble spot all day. And Broadway at I-25 trying to clear off an accident involving a pedestrian and a tow truck. Cut through snow and ice easier than ever. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about our all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, X5 and the new BMW X3. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Mother Nature continues to do us a kind turn with these above normal temperatures. The trend for that will last for the next several days. However, it will be turning windy and colder on Friday. We'll top out around 55 for our high today with a mix of sun and clouds. Fair and low 20s tonight. Low 50s tomorrow, back in the low to mid 20s on New Year's Eve. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Right now, sunny skies, 56 degrees in downtown Denver. KNRC News Time is 106. I'm Steve Smith. The next news is at 1:35 or when it breaks, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
106, 6 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live as we inch toward the new year. And I want to announce this. New Year's Eve revelers, if you've had too much to drink, you get a free ride home this year. It's sponsored by the Sober Ride. It's a nationwide program developed by the National Commission Against Drunk Driving. It's going to offer the intoxicated partygoer an opportunity for a free cab ride home for distances up to $50. So I guess what would have cost you $50 if you'd taken a cab. The service is going to operate at Union Station, which is 17th and Wine Coop. It's going to run from 8 p.m. until 3 a.m. Passengers have to be 21 or older. More than 2,500 passengers took advantage of the service last year. Local sponsors this year include Coors Brewing, AT&T Wireless, Peaberry Coffee and Remax 3000, RTD Bus and Light Rail Service is also going to offer. They're both going to offer free rides on all regularly scheduled routes on New Year's Eve, free from 7 p.m. until 6 a.m. the next day. So free rides on RTD and Light Rail, Bus and Light Rail, free from 7 p.m. December 31st, which is tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, until 6 in the morning on New Year's Day, January the 1st. RTD is going to add additional free light rail service to handle crowds for the fireworks display downtown. So this is really wonderful. I'm really glad. And I have to tell you, New York, where they one of the things we've been talking about is whether or not smoking and non-smoking, how that helps or hurts your bar business. But in New York, they can't even tell. The information is not exactly clear. It has helped a lot of bars to not have smoking in those bars anymore. And some people are complaining, but the statistics are kind of not murky, which tells me that if the bottom had dropped out of the bar business, we would certainly know it. And in California, I can tell you, no smoking in bars. The bar owners were so apprehensive about it. They were so opposed to it. Now they're thrilled. Bar business has been good. Restaurant business is very good. And if a bar serves food, I think their numbers are better when it's a no-smoking environment. So I hope that that gets readdressed in the coming year, because it would be so wonderful to be able to walk into a restaurant and not smell like an ashtray on the way out, and have your food taste like it has been mixed up with the ashes in the ashtray. So it's just some information about New Year's Eve as we proceed. Also, one of the things I want to share with you, one of the things we have talked about, is Pete Townsend. And you know, he's a rock guitarist, The Who. He just downloaded, registered on a website that he said he was writing. He said he felt he was molested in childhood, but he never downloaded any kiddie porn. Well, the FBI led a sting. It was an FBI-led crackdown on internet child pornography, and he got caught up in it. He was cleared of possessing any pornographic images of children, but he was still placed on a national registry of sex offenders. That registration was part of a formal police caution he received for accessing. He only accessed the website. He never downloaded anything. According to this story, he never had any kiddie porn in his possession. But he is now has to register as a sex offender. And the reason this is a story is that it's reported that he mulled suicide after he was arrested. After a four-month investigation was completed by London's Metropolitan Police, it indicated that Townsend was not in possession of any downloaded child abuse images, but had accessed a site containing such images in 1999. The 58-year-old musician acknowledged using his credit card to enter a website advertising child porn, but said he was doing research for his autobiography and a campaign against child pornography. He denies being a pedophile. So he never downloaded any images. And he now has to register as a sex offender, I think, for about 8 years, as I recall. Does that strike you as excessive? Certainly strikes me as excessive. He just, I don't know. You know, if you carry a reference book around, you're going to be suspicious. The Farmer's Almanac, the FBI will find you suspicious and think that you're possibly a terrorist. If you go cruising some of these sites and you don't download any images, you still, I guess, have to register as a sex offender. I think that that's excessive. I think that there's a problem there. I think we are so hysterical about kiddie porn, and I really think it's because we are abusing our kids left and right, and mainly we do that by neglecting them. So, and we're giving rise, if you remember the author that I had on a couple of weeks ago, we're giving rise to these selfish, joyless children. You put them in daycare center, they're having to cope with everybody else's moods, and they're too young to be able to do that. Later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by my good friend Marion Cunningham. She is a really probably the most beloved person in the food community all over the place. Every time she has a major birthday, the LA Times does pages on it, and the New York Times does pages on it. And if you pick up Sevre and any of those magazines, any of the, you know, Gourmet, any of them, you're always going to encounter her. And she has a brand new book. And it's called Lost Recipes, Meals to Share with Friends and Family. And her whole thing is that she thinks that we are losing something very civilizing, because nobody eats together anymore. A lot of families treat their homes like motels, cheap motels at that. Everybody's eating takeout. And so at a time when we're faced with all this terrorism, and for a while everybody was sort of cocooning, I think that there's maybe a lot of that going on still. But it's a very nice thing to be able to have friends and family in. And I should talk because, you know, I like to say I cook, but not in the kitchen. If you're just joining us, what we're talking about is under the stealth of capturing Saddam Hussein under the radar, as everybody was examining his beard for lice and weapons of mass destruction, President Bush signed an extension of the Patriot Act, Patriot II Act, which gives the FBI, I think, unprecedented powers. They have redefined, in a very canny, wily move, they have redefined what a financial institution is, so that it is almost anything now. A car dealership, it can be a credit card company, a casino, it can be a jewelry firm, it can be an airline, it can be the U.S. Post Office even, including your bank or stockbroker or insurance agent. And what the FBI can do, with no probable cause whatever, they don't have to appear before a judge. They don't have to have any reason to believe that you're being targeted for any criminal or terrorist activity. Nonetheless, they can issue what's called a national security letter to any of these now broadened definition of financial institutions. If the financial institution tells you that the FBI is targeting you, they face criminal penalties, so that they can get all of your information with no probable cause, no reason to get your information, and the FBI no longer has to report to Congress how often it uses these national security letters. So there's virtually no oversight as far as I can see. And this was all done under the stealth of night, 303-382-1150. Is this okay with you? How come this administration is doing everything in secret? Even fairly benign information, like collection on your tires, information that you pay for the collection of, on tire safety, on air quality safety, and so forth. They, a shroud of secrecy has descended on all of it. And what this extension of the Patriot Act does is to ramp up the executive branch, the power in the executive branch, and it does it in a stealthy way. And by calling it an intelligence authorization, then there's no public debate and therefore no public scrutiny. Is this okay with you in a democracy? 303-382-1150. Eric on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi, Enid. Happy holidays.
Thank you, and to you.
Hey, first off, I don't like the Patriot Act. I'm pretty sure I don't like the Second Patriot Act. I was calling in reference to that when I came on the radio. There was a caller, I don't know, 20 minutes ago, and his issue was, well, you're citing a newspaper article, and, you know, and it is true that the media can exaggerate and get things wrong. Your point was, well, great, why should we listen to you? What's your source? But then you kind of cut him off, and I was curious, now, what was his source? But what it came down to me, it's all kind of a moot point, because what you really need for this discussion is the source document. You need the Patriot Act so you can actually, you know, see it word for word. And I know you used to be able to get the Patriot Act 1 on the Internet. I don't know if that's true of the Patriot
Act.
I have the
Patriot Act. It is 4 inches thick.
Okay.
This is an extension of it. But
right.
This is a bill that grants the FBI sweeping new powers, and I got some sort of a heads up about it earlier as well. So I have no reason to doubt what this Texas paper is reporting. If you have information to the contrary, now I have something.
I don't have that information. I think it should be a much bigger national discussion. It should be in all the newspapers.
Are you hearing anything about it? I have heard nothing about it.
I haven't heard that he did this clandestine, you know, under the radar while people were distracted thing. But that's pretty much, you know, the modus operandi for administration to do that. But yeah, I think it's valuable.
All right, I'm going to deputize everybody to go start looking. I have the original Patriot Act, but these are riders. These are the new. This is the Patriot 2. This is what was going to be Patriot 2 until everybody started screaming about the draconian provisions that were in Patriot 2. So then what they did is, and they were going to foist this on us after we went into war with Iraq. So under the cover of war, just like they tried to do a lot of stuff, that's how they passed the Patriot Act right
sure.
after 9/11. So
right.
so they had to scramble. And what they did is they broke it up and they reassembled it as to a writer here and a writer there, and they've
right.
been very canny about it. So I would suggest doing some homework, but this is my preliminary information, and as we go forward, I'll have more
right.
information for you, Eric. 303-382-1150. Preston calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Preston.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
San Francisco sounded wonderful.
San Francisco was wonderful. I had such a good time. I was in the Napa Valley, and I was all over the place.
And by the ocean. Beautiful.
Oh, it really, you know, when I first saw water, I thought, oh, my God, I haven't seen water in a while.
But you're right. We're not hearing a lot about this, but there are a lot of efforts, kind of isolated efforts, all over the country. In fact, other people on talk radio who are bringing this up, and Bill Moyers has had a guest on a couple of times talking about Patriot Act and Patriot Act 2. Many lawyers like Erwin Shermerinsky or something like that from USC has gone into this, and I see a lot of lectures and gatherings taking place around the country. What troubles me is some of your callers, and I noticed this yesterday too, and I noticed this on other stations, who are very eager to give up these freedoms, and that George Bush, you know, he's a strong guy who follows through on what he says, and you're being too negative. I mean, people, these techniques through which to kind of suspend thought. You're not supposed to think critically.
Well, not only that, but they get so bent out of shape if I criticize him. I wonder what that's all about. If you are a citizen, you want to scrutinize all your public officials. Why do you take it so personally if the president is being criticized and legitimately criticized?
Absolutely. I guess it's more fun to, you know, just admire the president as he's walking around in the jumpsuit and dancing with the plastic turkey and things like that. And, you know, it jibes with so many of the movies we see that kind of hail the leader as the heroic savior. And I think what we've lost also is some of the anarchist philosophy, people like Rudolf Rocker, who talked about how the desire for freedom is less alive among men today and has with it. Many has given place completely to a desire for economic security, and that this constant tutelage of our acting and thinking has made us weak and irresponsible.
We are weak, and we aren't responsible in that we are not assuming with any, to the degree that we should, any kind of responsibility for keeping informed or oversight.
I'm sorry, but one last comment, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Your previous host, Bill O'Reilly's substitute yesterday, I mean, we're talking about similarities with Nazi Germany. Yesterday's host, Jay Severin or something like that, made a reference to Arabs as dish towel wearing sand monkeys. That kind of racism. And then people get on your back for whatever trivial reason.
Jay Severin is looking for a gig, and he probably thought the cheese monkeys, you know, segueing off of the cheese monkeys thing as a way, as a way to describe the French, was going to get him the next gig. I am guessing that was exactly the motivation behind it.
It's stunning, the, you know, classic racist xenophobia that's going on at times. And all I can say is that I hope some people, you know, more people will call in and not be cowed by all this intimidation.
I hope people are first of all, spreading the word about this radio station. I know that you are press, and you do all kinds of letters to the editor, and I really thank you. And I've heard you say wonderful things about my show and this radio station all over the place, including you called Barbara Simpson, right, in San Francisco at KSFO?
I called Barbara, and I called her replacement, actually, this weekend, too.
Who was filling in for her?
Jeff Metcalf.
Oh, yes. Jeff and I used to work together in Sacramento.
And he's a very right-wing guy,
mm-hmm.
and was saying a lot of the things that we all pick up. But I called, and he will take calls of dissent, and that's what's very hopeful. I mean, right-wing radio often has been very reactionary, but I have to give it a lot of credit, too. They do take calls of dissent. And my hope is that people, you know, even here in Denver with the spy files reportage, that intimidates a lot of people. You know, parents look at that and they're like, God, I don't want to get involved with something that's going to get me on some list. But Audre Lorde, the poet, said that our silence will not protect us, and we have to speak about what we're concerned about. Otherwise, this tidal wave of economic insecurity and environmental degradation will just continue on.
I am still mystified as to why people aren't more outraged about what's going on. And the next time you call Jeff Metcalf, tell him I said hello.
Will do.
Thank you, Preston.
Bye, Enid.
Bye. One of you just sent, Deborah just sent me this. She wants me to know what the Christian websites are saying about the extension of the Patriot Act. And here is somebody, apparently this is from a chat room, and he says, I recently had to sign documents for my work, for my 401k, it allowed the FBI to inspect where my money goes. I could get in trouble, is what he's saying. I don't know if this is accurate or not, but here's what he's saying. I could get in trouble for donating money unknowingly to an organization that donates money unknowingly to another organization that supports terrorism. How scary is that? And then someone says, why didn't you refuse to sign it? It's now the case that people are too afraid of their government and too afraid to speak up and refuse to sign their privacy over. If so, then it's time to get to the streets and take the power back, which is the American way. We the people, or perhaps this is just a precursor to Big Brother. Well, a lot of this feels like Big Brother to me. John Ashcroft has recused himself from the leak investigation. Remember that story? Another one of the lies from the Bush administration, exposed by a diplomat, Joseph Wilson IV. Remember that? And the White House allegedly outed his wife, who is an undercover CIA operative, Valerie Plame. It is a felony to out a CIA undercover operative. And so there is a Justice Department investigation underway, and there was a lot of finger-pointing to John Ashcroft, because how honest will this investigation be, since he has used Karl Rove in the past, and a lot of people think that Karl Rove had something to do with outing Valerie Plame. So, it's being reported today that Attorney General John Ashcroft has decided to recuse himself from, in other words, he's stepping away from, he's going to not direct, so he's taking a little break from this. He's recusing himself from a widening Justice Department investigation into the leak of an undercover CIA officer's identity. And a lot of you called in to say, oh, she wasn't undercover. She was just a nothing. She was just a this. She was just a, you know. And you were wrong. You were listening to some Reichstag radio, Sig Heil on your dial somewhere, that blowhard on the Walmart across the way. The probe into the disclosure of CIA agent Valerie Plame's name to a columnist will be overseen by somebody else. So, in other words, John Ashcroft is not going to oversee the investigation. It's going to be overseen by U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald of Chicago, who will report to a new Deputy Attorney General. This is according to sources. The decision will be formally announced this afternoon. The recusal of Ashcroft marks the latest twist in the ongoing saga of Valerie Plame, whose identity as the CIA officer was disclosed by unidentified senior administration officials to columnist Robert Novak. Well, you know what? Somebody ought to get it from Novak. Maybe the Shield Law ought to be a little more malleable in this case. He published her name July 14th. Apparently a half a dozen other reporters were also retailed this information, and only Novak, as far as we know, used it. So maybe somebody can rat out somebody else and Novak doesn't have to do it. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You can join the conversation. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Wally Prue of the Prue Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
Welcome aboard Airline, A&E's new real-life TV series that shows you all that can happen between here and there. For your viewing pleasure, I'd like to direct your attention to the antics of some of your fellow passengers.
May I please have 10 more ear sick bags? I'm wallpapering my living room.
Sir, please. Anyway, I hope you've got a craving for nuts, because there's probably one sitting in the seat next to you.
We all have our baggage. Airline arrives Monday nights at 10, 9 Central, only on A&E.
From Cheyenne to Chicago, from Buffalo to Bismarck, more cold engines in more cold places start with Heat. Heat Gasoline Antifreeze, America's number one brand for fast cold weather starts. From the Great Plains to the Great Lakes, from the Rocky Mountains to the rocky coast of Maine, whatever state of cold you're in, Heat removes water and prevents gas line freeze-up. Heat gas line antifreeze. Cold engines start with Heat.
Talk to Lionel.
Everybody's trying to reinvent this thing called dating, meeting. Oh, here's one for you. This one says she's fun-loving. You know, there's nothing better than somebody who loves fun. Really, I love ethnic food, now here we go, and 80s movies. You know what we should have? Dumbass. I'm a semi-literate who doesn't know what to say. Basically what they're saying is, do you really care what movies I like? Here's my picture.
Lionel, weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
127 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live as we inch toward the new year, 2004. I think it's going to be great. More in four is my motto. I think it is. I think it's going to be a really good year, but don't ask me why I think that. I guess I always think every year is going to be. I have all these techniques. I'm going to share that with you tomorrow. Later in the broadcast in the next hour, my dear friend and longtime friend, Marianne Cunningham, is going to join us. Her new book is called Lost Recipes, Meals to Share with Friends and Family. Her editor at Knopf is the legendary Judith Jones, who edits John Updike and who brought us The Diary of Anne Frank and who edits Julia Child. And Marion is a, if you don't recognize her name, she wrote the Fannie Farmer cookbook. She redid all of those. She was James Beard's right hand, and she's a real force in the food world and much beloved by people. And she's 82 years old, and for a long time she was driving a Jaguar with a Fuzzbuster on the dash. So she doesn't exactly drive as much as she sails through the air. In any event, she will be joining us talking about how we can start to entertain friends and family and start to be more civilized again. Well, that would be a nice recipe for the new year, wouldn't it? We're talking about John Ashcroft recusing himself from this leak investigation because he has used Karl Rove in the past on various campaigns. And the leak is thought to have emerged somewhere from senior White House staff with Karl Rove's fingerprints all over it. It is alleged. And this is the outing of the CIA operative Valerie Plame, who is Joseph Wilson's wife. And the reason they wanted to get back at Joseph Wilson is that he was dispatched to Africa to find out whether or not Iraq was trying to buy enriched uranium. And he said it's all bogus. It's just coarsely forged documents. It's just a bunch of BS. And the administration still used that as a reason for going to war in the State of the Union address. And finally, Joseph Wilson waited a year, and then he wrote an op-ed piece about it, outing the White House. They knew that it was a lie, and so they try to get back at him. They play hardball. 303-382-1150. The Army suicide rate has outside experts alarmed. Also, it's happening that a lot of reservists are they thought they'd be out just, you know, pretty quickly, and their tour of duty is being extended. And our forces are stretched pretty thin in Iraq. And if anything, if we have to go someplace else, how are we going to be able to do it? And a lot of people are rethinking their reserve commitment. 303-382-1150. Also, ephedra is going to be taken off the shelves. Here's my question. The government is supposed to protect us. They've known ephedra has been a problem for a long time. It's taken them quite a long time to do anything about it. They're not doing very much in the way of meat inspection that's very helpful. You get all these fecal-contaminated beef. You're putting the industry on more of an honor system than it ought to be on. And now we have mad cow disease, workplace safety. A lot of that is going by the boards, a lot of those rules, in favor of the tilt going to business. So there's a lot of surveillance of ordinary citizens, but not much surveillance of business. And I suspect the reason they're pulling ephedra is that these people are not big political contributors the way the meat industry is and other industries. But the government should be doing the work that we as individual citizens are unable to do, enforcing workplace safety issues, which they're backtracking on more and more. So in every place, that you expect honesty, openness, you expect to be able to reference the data that the government has collected, and we're paying for it. We don't get to see it because a shroud of secrecy has descended over this administration. So apparently the CIA, according to sources, is angry about the circulation of a still classified document to conservative news organizations suggesting that Valerie Plame had a role in arranging her husband's trip to Africa for the CIA. So if they're still angry about it, they might find a way to bring down whoever leaked all that information in the first place. 303-382-1150. USA Today reporting that lax rules and testing have put the public and the cattle industry at risk. When mad cow disease was discovered in Canada earlier this year, the cattle industry and the U.S. Agriculture Department shrugged off the incident as regrettable, oh well, too bad, but unlikely to affect beef in the United States. Resisting calls for more testing of animals and new restrictions on how they're raised and slaughtered, the industry boasted that the safest beef supply in the world. Those boasts now look more like wishful thinking. If initial reports that a cow found infected this month in Washington State came from Canada are accurate, this discovery would underscore the consequences of industry-driven policies that rarely call for testing animals. So again, industries are calling the shots. 303-382-1150. Look at the picture that's being painted here. I'd hate to be so negative as we approach the new year, and it's a, you know, we're still part of the holiday season, and the bills haven't come in yet for all our Christmas excesses. Oh, God, help us. A shop-a-rama in San Francisco is all I can tell you. An orgasmatron of shopping. But here you have, under the stealth of bringing in Saddam Hussein very close to the holiday season, and everybody, all they're talking about is Hussein, 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 President Bush signs an extension of the Patriot Act that is draconian. There's no question about it. And with no, that provides very little in the way of oversight, none at all that I can see. Howard Dean today has been reported as saying this is the most dangerous administration that he ever recalls, the most reckless administration, and I agree. And here's Ephedra, so big deal, they're banning Ephedra. At the same time, they've pretty much trashed a lot of workplace safety rules in favor of doing whatever the industry wants, because the industry is driving everything in this administration. So that what we are seeing is increased surveillance of citizens, but we don't get to surveil our officials. A huge curtain of secrecy has descended even on the most benign kinds of information. And websites that used to contain, you know, birth control information and so on, forget that. That's all gone because you have a real right-wing, very fundamentalist, very, conservative take on and any kind of the transmission of sexual information and so on. Gag orders on everything. It's all being conducted in secrecy. Is this what you want in a democracy? Well, you can say, oh, well, you know what? You know, it doesn't affect me. I still get to go shopping in the malls. I don't care. This isn't my thing. I have kids to worry about. And that's the other thing. I think one of the reasons I was thinking today that people aren't screaming more and are not more outraged is our lives are all much more complicated than they used to be. If you're a single person, you have a complicated life in many cases. It may be complicated by trying to find work if you don't have it. If you have children, it's a very complicated life. If you have a career that's very demanding, it's a complicated life. It's just, life today is very complicated, whatever your situation is. And as a result, we're so busy just trying to run to keep in place or run to just manage the details that nobody's got time for oversight. I'll tell you who does, though. The seniors do. They have time, and they're furious. And wait till they find out to the extent to which they have been sold down the river on that new Medicare legislation. The HMOs are getting their money starting now. Seniors are not getting their break until 2006, and they're not getting much of a break. But the drug companies got what they wanted, and the insurance companies got what they wanted. And the rest of us are going to be paying in perpetuity for this big grab, this big giveaway to the insurance companies and to the drug companies. Is this the kind of society you want to live in, where Big Brother is watching over you? Are you carrying an almanac on an airplane because you were going to read it and get some information? Forget about that. Forget about it. We'll be diverted with discussions about partial birth abortion, which affects so few people as to be inconsequential, and is, in any event, a medical decision usually invoked under the most dire of circumstances. And we will be distracted by debates over whether or not gays ought to be able to marry. And everybody will be distracted over watching another episode of Survivor or going to see Lord of the Rings or just trying to make ends meet in a society where it's more and more difficult to do that, and they're not going to be paying attention. And it doesn't help when these bills are signed, these extensions of the Patriot Act are signed under cover of night on a Saturday as Saddam Hussein is being brought in from, if we can believe the British papers, his drugged state. The Kurds really got him. They drugged him. They left him for the Americans to find. So, you know, we got a lot of spin doctoring about how great our troops are. Well, our troops are great. And the best way to support our troops is to bring them back and not extend their tours of duty, because our military is stretched way too thin. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Steve Smith. Hi, Steve.
Hi, and good afternoon to you. Under sunny skies, it's 56 degrees downtown. This report is service of BMW. A company in Fort Collins says it has a solution to help track down livestock faster than the regular ear tag system. The OptiBrand company's retinal scanning system enables information about the cow, including its location at the time of the scan, to be sent to a computer. The information can then be used whenever there is a question about where the cow was born and if it was near any other animals that might have been ill. It took the Department of Agriculture about a week to track the history of a cow found with mad cow disease in Washington State. Attorney General John Ashcroft won't be in charge of an investigation into who disclosed the identity of a CIA officer whose husband questioned the administration's claims of Iraq's weapons of mass destruction threat. Instead, the case was assigned to Patrick Fitzgerald, the U.S. Attorney General in Chicago. In sports, Steve Spurrier resigned as the coach for the Washington Redskins today. The Redskins were 12-20 the past two seasons. Spurrier also surrenders $15 million to cover the last 3 years of his contract, and he can't take another NFL job unless his new team wants to compensate the Redskins. Cut through the snow and ice easier than ever. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about our all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, the X5 and the new BMW X3. Traffic and the exclusive Weather Channel forecast are next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
Jim Condor here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your Flex Dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your Flex Dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, the excitement about International Optique is that we carry frames with a little attitude or a lot of attitude. Either way, let our staff make sure you walk out looking beyond fabulous.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, join International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Darren Copeland checks traffic from the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Aleve Cold and Sinus. And got an accident, Quebec and Alameda. Watch for that. It could cause you a little bit of problem if you're off freeway. And we're still getting back to normal on northbound I-25 right around Evans where we've had a couple problems. But that should be getting back to normal very quickly. Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus and get 12 hours of relief from your tough cold symptoms with just one pill. Aleve Cold and Sinus. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. These mild temperatures will see us right into the start of the new year, but by Friday it's going to be turning windy and colder, so just get ready for that. A mix of sun and clouds around the listening area for the rest of the afternoon with a high right around 55. Overnight lows tonight in the low 20s. Partly cloudy, low 50s tomorrow. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Right now, sunny skies, 56 degrees in downtown Denver. KNRC News Time is 1:40. I'm Steve Smith. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for DataTarget.com. At DataTarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find DataTarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. DataTarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. DataTarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. DataTarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
KNRC Market Watch.
Markets unable to shake losses inside the final hour of trading. Dow Industrials are down 32 points. NASDAQ is off 2. The S&P 500 losing 1 point.
Traders have taken their profits, taken whatever they're doing and positioned their portfolios. So, you know, today may be just a little bit of a give back from a tremendous run that we had yesterday.
Paul Nolte is Director of Investments at Hinsdale Associates. Today's losses also follow a trio of disappointing economic reports showing deterioration in consumer confidence, an unexpected drop in used home sales, and slower-than-expected expansion in Chicago-area manufacturing. Though traders are rewarding companies with good news, like Boston Scientific. Companies received approval to sell a new coronary stent in Europe. Stock is up over a quarter to its highest level of the year. The same can be said for Boeing, hitting a 52-week high after the company landed a more than $9 billion deal to make additional F-18 fighter jets for the Navy. Boeing shares are up over a quarter. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Closes your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
142 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock later in the broadcast. My dear friend Marion Cunningham will be joining us. Her new book is Lost Recipe. So as we contemplate having people over on New Year's Eve and what we're going to do as the holiday approaches, I think she's a good person to talk to, and she's always fun to talk to anyway. Couple of things that I want to get to. I haven't had a chance to get to it. The thinning of the Army. Over a third of the Army's active duty combat troops are now in Iraq. And by spring, the Pentagon plans to let most of them come home for urgently needed rest. Many will have served longer than a normal overseas tour and are under extremely harsh conditions. When the 130,000 Americans rotate out for home leave, nearly the same number will rotate in. At that point, should the country need to send additional fighters anywhere else in the world, it will have dangerously few of them to spare. This is the clearest warning yet that the Bush administration is pushing America's peacetime armed forces toward their limits. Washington will not be able to sustain the mismatch between unrealistic White House ambitions and finite Pentagon means much longer without long-term damage to our military strength. The only solution is for the Bush administration to return to foreign policy sanity, starting with a more cooperative, less vindictive approach to European allies who would help share America's military burdens. This is very interesting to me. A lot of you call in and say, oh, well, it was the Clintons that gutted this and gutted that, but you have here an administration that is stretching the Army very thin. And there are a lot of people who are serving who feel like democracy is not being served, and there were letters to Michael Moore to that effect also. Something else that I want to share with you, when you're talking about the economy turning around, you just heard the news that there is an unexpected decline in consumer confidence, so there's been a little bit of bad economic news today. But the economy, according to eBay, dig through eBay's data, and a surprising picture emerges. And this is USA Today reporting that if you dig through eBay's considerable data, what you're going to see is that people are, in fact, struggling. In 2003, the nation finally felt worn out. That's the conclusion when looking at the year through the unique lens of eBay, the gigantic, freewheeling, online marketplace where you can buy anything from a Beanie Baby to a backhoe. In a year of lives lost at war and jobs lost to a difficult economy, of a crisis of faith in two institutions, mutual funds and the North American electrical grid, that previously seemed unshakable, judiciousness took hold. In the beginning, you could buy BMWs on eBay and so on, but then later what started to happen is that they were selling Fords. Anyway, if you analyze the eBay data, what you find out is that people are really struggling. And I want to say something else. The government finally pulled ephedra. But where have they been to oversee scandals like Enron? What about a tougher SEC? When they had the chance to put teeth into the SEC, they blinked and they didn't do it. And so you have a mutual fund scandal and a lot of people being screwed. And it's the big corporations that are screwing us. We love having big corporations. It's very nice. It helps an economy run brilliantly. But not when they continue, when all we are is cannon fodder to be screwed. And no one is there protecting us. So I think you have to wake up and realize that this is not in our own interest. You're voting for an administration that is generally not in your own interest. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And here, we've got, this has been a year, 2003, of dramatic fakers. Well, let's name a couple of them. First, you've got William Bennett. Remember him? The Bill Bennett, the Virtue Czar. His bestsellers on virtue. He was kind of a morals czar. And then it turns out that he's got this big gambling Jones. So here he is, a virtue, Mr. Virtue itself, until it's revealed that he's just a BS artist who found himself a niche. And then you got Rush Limbaugh. He said that Donovan McNabb was getting a free pass from the mainstream media because they liked the idea of a black quarterback. And then he got a free pass himself from the conservative media because they liked the idea of a conservative commentator, even one who turned out to have an illegal OxyContin habit. So here he is, a junkie. And then you got Strom Thurmond, who was this big segregationist who all those years had a black daughter. She just came forward, and the family has acknowledged that she is his daughter. She was willing to take a DNA test. She's almost 80 years old. And he paraded himself, machoed around like he was this big segregationist guy. And, of course, his lie, the elephant in his background, in his bedroom, was that he had a black daughter. The byproduct of an affair with a black housemaid in his parents' home when he was still living in his parents' home. So you have a lot of BS artists, and so those of you who believe that George Bush is how you find him, that you can believe everything he says, you can take him to the bank just because he appears a certain way, get a life. Get real. 303-382-1150. Hal. Hal in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you, Hal.
Yeah, I'd like to make a prediction, and I'm going to say that if Bush is reelected, he's not going to be able to continue his foreign policy without reinstituting the draft. That's the next step. That's what's going to happen with the Army. But when I was in the Army, there was a draft, and there will be one again.
Well, that is being speculated on. The Army is stopping a lot of soldiers from quitting. There's a story here in which you've got somebody who's been in 20 years in the military, 10 years of active duty in the Air Force, another 10 in the National Guard. He decided enough was enough. His retirement date was set for February, but now not anymore. They've rolled it all back.
Yeah, they'll put the brakes on and extend people at first, but after a while that won't work anymore, and so they'll have to reinstitute the draft. You're going to start hearing that more and more, I think.
I'm going to tell you what. If they institute the draft, and it's an upper middle class, you know, the children of the rich are in the same draft pool as the children of the poor. That's when you're going to see protest.
Bad chance.
You don't think so?
I mean, you'll see protest if that happens, but it won't be like that, though. It will be still ways of getting out of the draft if you're rich and have power.
Well, I suppose there will, but I think more people will. It will affect more lives, and more people will go to school. If the rules are the same as they were the last time around, then more people will go to graduate school.
Yep.
All right, Hal. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. You think Hal is right that they're going to have to reinstitute the draft? Apparently, they're going to, because how else are they going to deal with a military ranks that are way too thin to do the job? 303-382-1150. Then we have the Pope pushing a campaign against gay marriage. That Coloradans are very divided on the ban, but many back a civil union. 43% totally favor would you favor or oppose amending the U.S. Constitution to define marriage as a union between one man and one woman? So 43% totally favor the constitutional amendment, and 47% totally oppose. Well, that's interesting. Do you favor or oppose allowing gay and lesbian couples to legally form civil unions? 59% totally favor, 33% somewhat opposed. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Most people come from one school of thought. Welcome to the beauty of both sides. AM 1150 KNRC. This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning series takes a look back at some of the hottest topics of 2003. Television is becoming more violent and vulgar every day. What started as a cable trend toward programs featuring sex, violence, and explicit language is now a common thread on broadcast networks as well. And it's not just late-night TV. Reality, gross-outs, and bed-hopping 20-somethings are common at all hours. Has television gone too far, or should viewers take responsibility for what they watch? Also, should the church allow homosexuals to serve as members of its clergy? And what about the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay? Should we be allowed to hold people indefinitely without charging them with some crime? Join host Greg Dobbs as he and a diverse panel of guests debate the issues on Colorado State of Mind Friday night at 8:30 on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. And join the discussion online anytime at rmpbs.org. Watch Colorado State of Mind every Friday at 8:30 p.m. only on Rocky Mountain PBS. KNRC Community Commitment.
Now is your chance to eliminate late fees on your unpaid Denver parking tickets. When you pay your outstanding parking tickets by December 31st, all late fees will be waived. Pay your tickets online at www.denverpvb.com, by phone at 303-296-2595, or stop in the first floor atrium of the Webb Municipal Office Building at 201 West Colfax. But hurry, the Denver Parking Ticket Late Fee Amnesty Program ends December 31st.
Meet L.A. Sheriff's Deputy Rico Amante.
I was born in New York, almost incarcerated there, and now police in the streets of L.A. How's that for self-rehabilitation?
Meet his training officer, Senior Deputy John Henry Barnes.
My first name is for lovers and friends. I don't love you, and you are not my friend.
Now put these two guys together in a squad car.
Hookers, nurses, and other cops. That's who we marry.
Which of the three is your wife, sir?
Shut up!
10-8, Officers on Duty, premieres this Sunday at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
Talk to Alan Combs.
Democrats need a vision. They can't keep doing what they're doing. And this frustrates me because I am a Democrat. I happen to think Democratic policies are the best for America, but they've done a lousy job of articulating them and showing America a vision for the future. You have Howard Dean, who's saying, it's only a theory, but the Saudis told Bush about 9/11 before the fact. It's only a theory. Well, then don't say it, because people are going to think you're promoting that theory. You're not going to win saying that. Maybe you win the nomination, but you're not going to become president.
Alan Combs, late night, starting at midnight on AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
153 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock later in the next hour. Marion Cunningham will be joining us. Lost Recipes is her new book. Cutting the cord. You know, it's harder to find pay phones. Eventually, I think they're going to become extinct. I have a collection of things that I call lost, gone but not forgotten. Like elevator operators, they're gone but not forgotten. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. But I think pay phones are you can't buy carbon paper anymore. And typewriters, thrift shops don't even take them most of the time now because they're becoming pretty extinct. Phone booths, you might find a pay phone, but you're not so likely to find the phone booth, and you're finding fewer pay phones. So gone but not forgotten. We'll do that tomorrow. Howard Dean is labeling George Bush as reckless. And before I get to that, I just have to tell you, Dean is not wanting to talk to, or Bush, Dick Bush, is not wanting to talk to the Bigfoot media. And where he's going to go is local radio, and most of talk radio, if he's going to go there, is conservative. So he's going to go where it's friendly and where they're going to ask him real softball, puffy old questions. Now, I have to tell you, in the interest of disclosure, full disclosure here, all right, I'm going to take off all my clothes because we're doing full disclosure. Oh, no. I interviewed President Bill Clinton. He was in Air Force One, and I was in the studio, so I did not meet him face to face. And the White House had a deal where the moment you made contact, you had to have a producer on another line, and they'd start counting you down. In other words, they were going to only give you 5 minutes. So think about this. There's almost nothing you can ask a sitting president that he hasn't been asked before. And if you do chance on something that, you know, that could break some ground, he could boilerplate you for those 5 minutes. So, any event, for some reason though, I managed to get 20 minutes out of Clinton. I was off and running. I asked him if he'd read Primary Colors, and he said he had not. And then he joked with me that he had written it, and we were off and running doing serious stuff. And the interview made breaking news, and Clinton said some interesting things. But the way, I could see the way it would normally, he was not somebody who was as restricted by his handlers as George W. Bush, because Bush can't wing it. He's limited in his abilities to wing it, and Clinton was not. So I got 20 minutes out of Clinton. But if Bush were to be offered to any talk host, and I'm certain he probably would not be offered to me, you'd get just a few minutes, and you don't ask him anything too tough, and he can boilerplate you if you happen to chance in that area. And they're only going to go where it's friendly. So President Bush, they're going to stay away from the Bigfoot media, and they're going into local radio. Just want to give you a heads up. Here's what Howard Dean has said. He said, if we're safer now, he said, this is the most reckless administration he can remember, that they're the most dangerous. If we're safer now, how come we lost 10 more troops and raised the safety alert to the orange level? He said, all the other Democrats jumped on me, beat me up, and said how ignorant I was about foreign affairs. And I think most people, he says, in America agree with me today, and it's only 2 weeks later. It's true. I mean, I don't know if I really like, Howard. Sometimes I'm not sure I like Howard Dean a lot, but he's right. So anybody but Bush. That's my motto. Earl in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. You were just asking questions about
legal union and the amendment to the Constitution.
Yeah.
I'm for both.
Oh, good.
You know I'm a strong conservative. I'm for...
I'm surprised that you're... I'm surprised. You're for gay marriage?
No, I'm for a legal union.
A civil union.
A civil union, yeah. And then for the amendment to the Constitution also. So you could... So that's positive and a positive.
So then only a man and a woman can get married?
That would be the constitutional amendment.
Yes, yes.
But you would have a civil union.
A civil union.
Also.
As opposed to an uncivil union, which we have far too many of, in my opinion. Okay,
yeah,
Earl.
You could have both.
I don't care if men and men get married to men. Love, wherever it's found, and people want to make a longstanding commitment to each other. In this day and age of heartbreak, grief, divorces that are 50%, God bless them is what I say, and I thank you. 303-382-1150. Dave, calling from Lakewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid?
Yes.
I'd just like to make a couple of quick comments.
Yes.
I think you ought to syndicate nationally if you can work something out with your local station. And then I also think it would help for you to open your show with a little folk song that this gal named Amy Martin from Missoula, Montana, on the invasion of Iraq.
What is the folk song? Can you hum a couple of
it's called All About Oil.
Oh.
And so if you haven't heard it, I would really urge you to get a hold of this and... I'll play it for your guy over the phone once we get off here.
Okay.
And I sure hope you keep hammering at this Bush administration.
I don't know if I'm doing... I'm telling you something. I really wonder if I'm doing any good or if I'm just preaching to the choir, because I think people... is anybody who sat on the fence or gone one way or the other been converted by anything that has been said on this program is my question, I guess.
Well, I think... I think that people lock into their positions. If they voted for Bush, for example, in the past, I think that no matter how much injury he does to the country, it won't make any difference. They won't change their minds. It's too tied in with religious and racial issues, and so you can't change the minds of, I'd say, a good third of the electoral
vote. We're just about out of time, Dave, but you mean are there a few people whose minds could be changed?
I'm a little deaf, so I didn't quite catch you, so I'll get off the line.
All right, Dave.
You're doing great. Keep hammering.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. For those of you who asked, it's bill number HR 2417, the extension of the Patriot Act, so draconian, signed under Saddam Hussein's beard for cover. Really, literally, he was the beard here. Draconian extension. Marion Cunningham up next. Lost Recipes. One more hour of Enid Live right here on
1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
And at 2 o'clock, it's 55 degrees in Denver. I'm Steve Smith. This report, a service of Goodyear. Both NASA and the European Space Agency failed again early this morning to make contact with the Beagle 2 surface probe. Europe's Mars Express, which transported the Beagle 2 to Mars, took a closer orbit to the planet early this morning in the hopes of picking up a signal. NASA's Mars Odyssey scanned the Beagle 2 landing site, but didn't get a signal. The Beagle 2 was built to take samples of Martian soil and rocks in order to search for organic matter. John Ashcroft is out as the lead investigator into a CIA leak from earlier this year. He will be replaced by the U.S. Attorney General in Chicago, Patrick Fitzgerald. The probe is hoping to discover who leaked the name of a CIA agent whose husband raised questions about the administration's claims that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction. The FDA announced today that it is banning products containing the weight loss supplement ephedra. It's been linked to risks including heart attacks, strokes, and seizures. Dr. Sidney Wolfe of the Public Interest Health Research Group asked government officials to ban ephedra in 2001. 81 deaths were reported to the FDA that year.
Now, more than 2 years later, there are 155 deaths reported. So one way of looking at this ban is that 74 people, in addition to those who had already died, have died since the time that the FDA really should have banned this product.
Wolf says the FDA was cowardly to leave the product on the market since the scientific evidence of heart attack and stroke was present then, as was the illegal authority to ban it. A company in Fort Collins says it has a solution to help track down livestock faster than the regular ear tag system. The OptiBrand company's retinal scanning system enables information about the cow, including its location at the time of the scan, to be sent to a computer. The information can then be used whenever there is a question about where the cow was born and if it was near any other animals that might have been ill. It took the Department of Agriculture about a week to track the history of a cow found with mad cow disease in Washington State. In sports, the Denver Nuggets take on Toronto tonight in NBA action. Game time is 7 o'clock at the Pepsi Center. Denver has a record of 19-11. And Steve Spurrier resigned as the coach of the Washington Redskins today. The Redskins were 12-20 the past two seasons. Spurrier will surrender $15 million to cover the last 3 years of his contract. He also can't take another NFL job unless his new team wants to compensate the Redskins. Now through January 17th, get up to a $50 cash card with the purchase of four selected Goodyear tires. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the retailer nearest you. KNRC News Time is 2:03. Traffic and the exclusive Weather Channel forecast are straight ahead.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapaho Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Heat & Glow.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Heat & Glow.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Get a Heat & Glow. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
KNRC News Time is 2:04. Darren Copeland is in the KNRC Traffic Center checking traffic.
This traffic report is brought to you by the 17 John Elway Automotive Showrooms. And we do have a problem. This one's going to be westbound 270 at Vasquez. An accident involving a motorcycle. Watch for that. That's going to take you back just a bit. So no watch for delays there. Other than that, though, looking like a pretty good drive around the metro area. Don't wait. The John Elway year-end sales celebration has special prices and deep discounts on over 7,000 vehicles. Head to any of the John Elway showrooms, plus make no payments for 3 months. Happy New Year. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Mother Nature continues to do us a kind turn with these above-normal temperatures. The trend for that will last for the next several days. However, it will be turning windy and colder on Friday. We'll top out around 55 for our high today with a mix of sun and clouds. Fair and low 20s tonight. Low 50s tomorrow, back in the low to mid 20s on New Year's Eve. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Right now under sunny skies, 55 degrees in downtown Denver. I'm Steve Smith. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Be sure to start your day the right way.
It's a busy world, and none of us has a lot of time, especially me. That's why I tune to the station, because in a heartbeat, they're going to give me all the headlines that's going on around the country, around the globe.
The station you can depend on.
And right here locally. Let me know what's going on, and I like to keep on top of everything that's going on. And there's only one place for me to find that, and that's right here. That's why we use this station.
Denver's locally owned news and talk station, AM 1150 KNRC. Now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:05, 5 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and with me is my dear friend Marion Cunningham. Her new book is called Lost Recipes, Meals to Share with Friends and Family. Marion, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I feel like it's wonderful to make touching, another segment.
Well, I want to say something here. For people who don't know, Marion Cunningham has an illustrious history, personally and professionally. She is one of the most beloved members, probably the most beloved member of the food community, a community not always known for carving up its It's Pray in Private. And she has the legendary editor, Judith Jones, who, as I said earlier, has been John Updike's editor and Julia Child's editor and brought us The Diary of Anne Frank, I think. And this is a new book called Lost Recipes. Marion has also done the Fanny Farmer cookbooks. She was James Beard's right hand. And you started your career. Why don't you set it up a little bit, Marion, for people who don't know about your background? Your career didn't start until you were, what, in your 40s or 50s?
I was 50.
You were 50?
I was 50 when I really began a career, which was thanks to James Beard. And it was a wonderful turning point in my life. It never had occurred to me that cooking, my era, everyone did cook. Homes were occupied by women in their kitchen cooking away, and so it didn't seem like a possibility for anything other than feeding people.
But you had had a lot of phobias, so for you to get on a train to go to Oregon where James Beard was having classes was not a small event in your life.
No, it wasn't. I had really never left California and Southern California at that. And I was very torn. The sense of terrible discomfort with anxieties, and yet the feeling that it was something I should do. Fortunately, I took the latter path, and James Beard gave me a career. And he was a wonderful, wonderful chef, cook, whatever. He simply had some extra ability in being able to put together the most unlikely ingredients at times. He was a really, truly a great talent.
And it was through James Beard that you met Judith Jones, and they were looking for someone to do a revision of an old-time, very successful cookbook, the Fanny Farmer Cookbook.
Correct.
How long did it take you to do that initial revision?
Well, the first, I've done two revisions, and the book contains 1,700 recipes, and I firmly believe no one can cook in their head. I mean, you can read the ingredients, read the proportions, and you still cannot know exactly how that's going to taste. So in order to do a fair job of it, every recipe had to be tested. And so that took me that first time around about seven and a half years to do, working daily on it. And but I enjoyed it. You know, if you like to cook, it isn't work. And so anyway, that was my first revision. I think it was maybe six or even longer than that years after I did my second revision.
Are a lot of cookbooks, the dirty secret of cookbook land, is it that a lot of recipes are not tested, so you try to do them and they're not going to be successful?
Well, I think the cookbook authors that have repetitively turned out books about cooking, they're doing it legitimately. Not that it isn't, but in a sense it is, because it can read well and taste terrible.
And nice pictures.
You really have to cook it to know.
All right. Now, for those of us who are not so adept, and I remember you told a story about a friend of yours who was a TV producer trying to learn how to cook. So you wrote a book, one of your Learning to Cook with Marion Cunningham. And
yes.
I was one of the cooking dummies that was one of your guinea pigs for that book. But you talked about a television producer, a really bright, successful man who was trying to learn how to cook, and he's looking in a cookbook, and he's trying to make a salad. He washes the lettuce, and it says, toss the lettuce. So he stands on one side of the room, and he tosses it to the other side of the room. And it's a true story, because he thinks it will aerate it.
Exactly.
So
right.
So for people who are of that mentality, and I guess I include myself in that bunch, you're talking about lost recipes. You're talking about a time where people, as you say, treat their homes like motels. Everybody eats at a different time. Nobody eats the same thing. Everybody's eating takeout, different takeouts at the meal. And you're talking about a loss of civility. Talk to me about that.
Well, I look upon this as a very profound loss in home life. and for the for many reasons, but probably the one that I think is the greatest loss is not sitting together across from one another, sharing what has been cooked and on the table. And I think it is the glue that tells us ultimately who we are and where we're from. It's always been a subject in the past where one would say, oh, my mother was a terrible cook, but they enjoyed telling you how the food was and how the mother tried but never learned. And
In other words, her bad cooking was a story you could dine out on for decades.
That's true. And it told you about, you know, it was something personal. It told about them. And it made a connection. Some of these very inept cooks, home cooks, parents, might have been fortunate enough to have children that never knew what good food did taste like. They may well have thought they had it, which, you know, how do you know? This thing of tasting and appraising does have some variables.
Well, I know that this book is flying off the shelf. It's a beautiful cookbook. It's called Lost Recipes, Meals to Share with Friends and Family by Marion Cunningham. If you're just joining us, she's our guest. She's a dear friend of mine. Some of these recipes look wonderful, and there are wonderful comments, too, about the civility of eating together and just... So if somebody's like me, Marion, and I'm an unconfident cook, I mean, I don't have the timing down right. There are a couple of dishes that I can make. You're the one who introduced me to farmers markets. So even on Sunday in San Francisco, I was in Marin and went to the farmers market.
I remember. I
remember you and Alice Waters did a demonstration there, and you convinced me what a good thing that was to do, to go and get fresh ingredients, you know, just make a simple salad. I've always done that, but I was at the farmer's market and I bought a ring instead, but we won't go there. I should have bought some produce to bring back with me. They had all these crafts people. Oh, it was a shop-a-rama, Marion. But in any event, some of us don't have time, we're leading complicated lives, what advice can you give to us? How do we begin to do this and not feel overwhelmed by it?
Well,
and what is wrong, for example, and I'll play devil's advocate here, what's wrong with, okay, we all eat together, but we bring in takeout?
Well, I would accept that. I mean, the problem is that if you don't know how to cook, that as an adult, children, I taught tons of children from very, very young ages on up cooking classes, and children don't worry about failure. They don't. If they made it, they love it. It could taste horrible. And so it was no problem with them. They grasped it, and they got better with it. They better understood some of the needs of how to make a dish. But with adults, they can't plunge ahead. That's the way we are about everything that we're learning as adults. We have reservations. We are worried that we can't pull it off. And it's why I flunk computers. I have a computer, can't use it, thought I wouldn't make it.
Well, you're busy you were driving that Jaguar for a long time with a Fuzzbuster on the dash, flying at low speeds. Not so low. All right. I understand what you're saying. And one of the things I learned when I was part of your, you know, kind of one of the cooking dummies in your class when you were writing Learning to Cook with Marion Cunningham is that you did something that I never knew was possible in a kitchen. And that is, it was okay to try things a bunch of different ways, and it was fine to fail. And I think that I had always felt like you had to succeed, it had to be right, I set an impossible standard, so just knowing that it was okay to fail, and that you could try things a bunch of different ways, and if it didn't work out, you could just toss it, because
yeah.
In our house, that was a big sin, tossing out food was always a big sin.
I thought
this was, it really freed me up to learn how to do a couple of things in the kitchen.
Well, I do remember that, Enid, and it's kind of a natural response. Most of us who are adults feel is we think it's a terrible calamity. The fact is that even if it doesn't turn out perfectly, with the passage of time and working on continuing to learn to cook, you find ways to fix it. And if you can't, then you make big vats of soup.
Or you feed it to Mr. Sniffy the dog. And you hope he doesn't keel over. One of the other things, and I always say I cook but not in the kitchen, ha ha ha, is that I really think there's something lost. When you don't control your own, when you don't have a role in your own nurture in the most literal basic sense. In other words, if you're only relying on others to make your meals because you're either sticking a lean cuisine in the microwave or you're bringing in takeout or you're eating out all the time. First of all, if you're trying to eat in a healthy way, you can't control it because you really don't know what's in there. You don't know if there's too much salt. You don't know if there's too much cream or carbs or whatever. If you're trying to lose weight, and everybody and their mother is trying to lose weight always, and especially this time of year, everybody's been so bad. Mark can control what you're eating. And there's something about making your own food makes you feel like you know how to nurture yourself in the most basic way. It also makes you feel more confident. It's just something that's very natural, and somehow we're losing that natural connection.
We are. That's very true. And the loss that is the greatest, again, I'm repeating, but the greatest of all to me is not sitting and sharing your life with the people that you share the home with. And somehow that is an essential in putting glue to families. If people, and this happens a lot, people are working and homes are empty, and, you know, there are no villains here. Everyone tries to do the best they can. Slowly, home cooking has been forgotten. It hasn't continued to be passed down generation after generation. So that we live lonely lives in a sense, and working away from home, that one opportunity is to sit facing one another, sharing food, and it brings forth a sense of who we are and where we're from.
Plus, it's such a wonderful moment, even if it's not with your family, to sit with friends over a meal. It
yes,
is so,
it is.
You savor the friendship, you savor the meal. It is, and a home-cooked meal, what a great treat.
That's right. I'm probably repeating here, but this young Southerner, Bill Neal, who said, and he ate Southern food, and he said, when I stop eating Southern food, I won't be a Southerner anymore. and by George, I could believe it.
Talk to me about trendy foods.
About Chinese food?
No, trendy. Trendy foods.
Sunday?
Trendy.
Friendly food?
No, trendy.
Trendy.
You could talk about all those other things too. but you know, it used to be kiwi was on everything, and and you see all these fusions. I know you're not a big fan of a lot of fusion cooking. You have an electric range. Sheila Lukens was in a couple of weeks ago, and she talked about your kitchen. You have an electric range, not a big professional Viking or whatever those wolf or whatever those things are. You just have an ordinary kitchen out of which come extraordinary dishes.
Well, you really don't need anything else except some experience cooking. That's all you need. This works like a charm. The kitchen is very, very small. I can stand in one spot and almost handle the top of the stove, handle the oven, and on a cutting board be preparing the next thing. And I guess because I have always loved to cook. I was in the kitchen with my Italian grandmother from the time I was crawling on the floor. And just in a matter of months old. But just watching somebody cook, learning, I sort of couldn't help but learn. There's something kind of wonderful about the kitchen. And something, even if food doesn't taste right when you finish it, you have that opportunity to try to fix it up. And if that doesn't work, just make some broth and put it in there.
if you
give it a little bit of spice, you won't know that you're not eating wonderful food.
What happens if you're busy all day long and you haven't got a lot of great skills? How would you recommend getting your feet wet, getting started, maybe beginning to think about having people come over and you could do something for them? But what would your recommendation be?
Well, if I were going to do that, what I really like to do, the way I like to do it, and you're talking about kind of an impetuous thing where you decide to have somebody at the last minute, I take it. But if for instance, I do breakfast very often here. I have a waffle recipe that is absolutely the most perfect waffle in the world. And so it's an ideal way to entertain people. They can have waffles at supper time or morning time or lunch, any time. In fact, I have a couple coming this weekend. So, I mean, you can have a very, very good meal, but it would be waffles and either sausage or bacon, and you can have the batter for the waffle all done the night before. So really, all you're doing very little, and it's always a hit. People aren't making waffles anymore. When did you last see a waffle?
Well, I've seen people waffle, but I haven't had a waffle in a while. So if you made one for me, I'd be thrilled. And you know, just the idea that someone invites you for brunch,
yes,
and you can smell the smells when you walk in the house, and it's just delicious and it's wonderful. And you know, I'm reminded of the fact that in Spain, I was one, and maybe this has changed, but the last time I was in Spain, they had one cooking school in all of Spain because they didn't need them.
Uh-huh.
Cooking was passed down in your family. You didn't. They thought it was very peculiar that you would go to a school to learn how to cook.
Isn't that interesting? Kind of wonderful,
yeah,
frankly.
But it's very different from our experience here, where we're more and more disconnected from each other.
Yes, we are, and that's the part. There's nothing like the communal table to keep us together. There really isn't. It's probably the most important thing we can do in order to keep alive our closeness and understanding and knowing these people that you live with. There's nothing, no substitute for that one experience.
Why have you been so not nuts about fusion cooking? And that would be like if you...
About teaching cooking?
Fusion.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Fusion. F-U-S-I-O-N.
Oh, about fusion.
Yeah,
cooking.
Like Asian and Italian together, or Asian and French, and you get these plates in restaurants that have hardly enough food, big prices, small portions, and the plate looks really architectural,
mm-hmm,
and there's a lot of pretension as a side dish.
Yeah. Well, that's a public business they're running.
Right.
And
but as a home cook, the whole business of fusion, you're not very fond of putting these two things that don't look like they go together, because you think it doesn't work that well?
Well, I've always had the feeling that very often fusion doesn't fuse. And that being the case, I'd say we should avoid it.
Marion Cunningham, it's been a great pleasure to have you join us today. My dear friend Marion Cunningham, her new book is called Lost Recipes. It's a gorgeous book. Meals to share with friends and family. Marion, as we're approaching the new year, it'd be a good resolution to try to do more cooking at home. And if you're going to have some friends in for New Year's Eve, any suggestions?
Well, there again, if you could only do waffles, it would be a perfect one.
For New Year's Eve to do waffles?
For New Year's Eve, waffles would be wonderful.
Really? And what would you serve with the waffles?
I like that peppered bacon, thick-cut peppered bacon that I put in the oven and cook. It is absolutely delicious with waffles, and you have to get a good maple syrup,
uh-huh,
butter,
uh-huh,
lots of butter.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a breeze, because you can make the batter the night before or hours before you're going to need it. And you can get, it doesn't take a lot to do this. And I'm so sold on it because it's always given people pleasure.
Well, I love the recipes that you've got here. And at a time when we're talking about heirloom tomatoes and heirloom this and that, for people to be able to save their family's recipes and to remember the tricks that their grandmother knew how to make something succeed that are sometimes now lost to the rest of us, I think is a wonderful idea.
Oh, Enid, thank you. That I could not share that more. Today, everyone is on a very, very tight and busy agenda. And again, as I say, there's no villains here. I guess we were headed here from the time we settled in this country. But the fact is, we're not sharing food with others. We're many, many, many families are eating on the run and trying to juggle and cover all the bases, work and all the rest. So I wish we could get us all back to the table.
Well, maybe your book will help us do it. Lost Recipes, Meals to Share with Friends and Family. Marion Cunningham, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Happy, healthy new year filled with lots and lots of blessings.
Thank you, Ina, dear, so much, and I hope we have a close visit soon.
I hope so, too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I mean, Goldstein, you're listening to AM 11. We just had a really nice close visit. We had a great meal at Hawthorne Lane while I was in San Francisco, and one at Slanted Door, too. So if those are two places, if you're going to San Francisco, Slanted Door especially is just wonderful. You'll have a great meal. I mean, it's a little bit fusion, but I think mostly Vietnamese. I mean, Goldstein, you're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Call the host you don't agree with. Keep both sides alive and well on AM 1150 KNRC.
Jim Conder here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your Flex dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your Flex dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, the excitement about International Optique is that we carry frames with a little attitude or a lot of attitude. Either way, let our staff make sure you walk out looking beyond fabulous.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, join International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Join the Colorado Symphony Orchestra and pianist Chris O'Reilly for a performance of Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 2 on January 9th, 10th, and 11th. This Masterworks performance includes Mozart and more. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at www.coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
AM 1150 KNRC features more in-depth reporting than any other Denver talk station. Our in-depth reports have been recognized by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and the Associated Press for 4 awards of excellence. Hear in-depth reports from award-winning KNRC reporters Mark Roberts and Stacey Farr during the Greg Dobbs Morning Show or anytime at knrcradio.com where you can click it and own it. Denver's in-depth talk station, AM 1150 KNRC.
Dominic Barasha.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:30 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and if you're just tuning in, you've missed Marion Cunningham, but you can get her book. It's really a lovely book. There's a pocket in it, and she says it's just flying off the shelves. It's called Lost Recipes, Meals to Share with Friends and Family, and I've looked through some of it, and It is. These are recipes that you can that are not too hard to do. At least I'm looking at them, thinking that a lot of these I could actually do myself. So, and there's a recipe for Joe's. Did you ever have the Joe's special? If you go to San Francisco, if you're an old San Franciscan, Joe's specials are great, and they're unique to the Bay Area. And a Joe's special is usually hamburger and spinach and onion and what is it? Eggs lightly beaten and a little bit of Parmesan and some spices and and some sourdough bread and a little vino and a little bit of jazz and I'm getting hungry. We've been talking about a lot of different things. If you are just joining us, we've been talking about all sorts of stuff, and I just got an email because this is from Stephen. Stephen says, I'm passing this on to you because it has definitely worked for me. By following the simple advice I read in an article, I have finally found inner peace. It reads, quote, the way to achieve inner peace is to finish all the things you started. So I looked around to see all the things I started and hadn't finished. So today I have finished one bottle of wine, a bottle of red wine, a bottle of white wine, a bottle of Bailey's, my Prozac, a large box of chocolates, and a six-pack of beer. You have no idea how good I feel right now. You may pass this on to those you feel are in need of inner peace. Well, as we inch toward New Year's Eve, which, don't get me started on New Year's Eve. Maybe you have something great cooked up for New Year's Eve, but I always, everybody's shaking their heads. All right, in the control room, you too, you denizens of the control room, you got any plans for New Year's Eve? Jordan, are you shaking your head no? What is Joe? Oh, he's going to maybe check out the downtown festivities. Are you going to take that taxi home? Free taxi ride from Union Square. He might have to as he stumbles home. And Joe, you have plans for New Year's Eve? No. Everybody's shaking their head. No. We are such an unsocial bunch. Well, do you have plans for New Year's Eve? I want to hear. All right. I saw this story and I've been saving it for the right moment. Maybe this is the right moment because we've been talking about a lot of heavy things today. And now we're on lighter things. First of all, a couple things. Guess what they're trying? I think this is so cool. Taking a page out of Nordstrom's book, Oh, I Insulted Somebody Over the Holidays. You want to hear how this happened? I was at a friend of mine's, and he always does a Christmas dinner every year for orphans. That is, people have no families are not around. Well, the orphan crowd has gotten larger and larger, and it used to be he did it every other year, and now he's doing it every year, and it's a huge long table with 20, 25, or 30 people, and he does everything, and God knows, and he's an ER doc. But he's a musician also, and a lot of his friends are professional musicians. Some of them are jazz musicians who have been sat in as personnel on certain jazz albums and so on and so on. And one of them I knew was coming, and I knew that he was like a big deal jazz musician. And I was sitting at the piano, and I play by ear, so I was playing something by ear. And he sort of sidled up next to me, and he slid in next to me, and then he started to play, and he really could play, you know. So, of course, I just evaporated and sat there and enjoyed his wonderful music, and he's really playing well. And at the end of it, I said, wow, I said, that was really wonderful. I said, you are good enough to play at Nordstrom. And he gave me a look. If looks could kill, I'd be dead right now. And I was only, you know, putting him on, but he didn't know that. So taking a page out of Nordstrom's book, because at least in the Nordstrom's in California, I don't know if that's true at Park Meadows, but in California, they all have live, or in the Bay Area, let's say, they all have live pianists playing at Nordstrom. And we heard a great story about a guy who's chief of psychiatry at one of the big teaching institutions or the hospitals in the Bay Area, but he's a musician, and he plays at Nordstrom's, and somebody ran into him. You know, he does it because it's fun, and said, hi, what are you doing here? He says, well, this is my gig when I'm not being chief of psychiatry. Here, he says, I'm just Ernie. So anyway, taking a page out of Nordstrom's book, you know what some ER rooms are doing? They are putting live music in. So think of the trauma when you go into, I think Nordstrom's having a live pianist is a stroke of genius, because you walk in, you listen to that great music, and you relax, and you start to think about, terrific times you could have and the right clothes you might need for those terrific times that you're fantasizing about. And you relax, and your wallet relaxes, and your resistance to buying more than you need relaxes, and you just want to buy. So having a live pianist playing the right kind of music in a store like Nordstrom is a terrific idea. And they're toying with this idea in emergency rooms and in hospitals. And it turns out that it actually helps you to heal. And there was research a while back that told us that musical conductors, Leopold Stokowski among them, tended to live, as a profession, musical conductors tended to have more longevity, lived longer. Was it something about the music? Was it something about the benefits of the music, kind of like wine for the soul? I don't know, but they're to promote healing. Joe says it's the exercise. To promote healing, they're putting music into hospitals, live musicians, which I think is a fabulous idea. You know, you could just check in for a little music, and maybe if they improve the food service there, you may never want to leave. 303-382-1150 in a time of drive-by medicine. Also, adding to that, drive-by music. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Steve Smith. Hi, Steve.
Hi, and good afternoon to you. Under sunny skies, it's 54 degrees downtown. This report is service of Goodyear. Authorities hope to wrap up their investigation of the Glendale apartment fire by Friday, but ATF Deputy Chief Philip Horbert says there's no certainty that's when investigators will finish. First on the to-do list is knocking down the building's five-story high chimneys. That could happen by the end of the day, pending a contractor's ability to make a last-minute switch and demolition apparatus. The weekend fire displaced 40 families at the Spanish Gate Apartments and killed one female resident. Attorney General John Ashcroft stepped down from a probe into who leaked the name of an undercover CIA operative. Deputy Attorney General James Comey appointed U.S. Attorney General Patrick Fitzgerald from Chicago to lead the investigation. In sports, Steve Spurrier resigned as the coach of the Washington Redskins today. The Redskins were 12-20 the past two seasons. Spurrier surrendered the last $15 million of his contract. He also can't coach another NFL team for three seasons, otherwise his new team would have to pay compensation to the Redskins. Now through January 17th, get up to a $50 cash card with the purchase of four selected Goodyear tires. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the retailer nearest you. Traffic and the exclusive Weather Channel forecast are next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Brenda at Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits is here with me. And, Brenda, I need your help about champagne. For example, I need some good bottles for gifts, an inexpensive one to drink with friends, maybe even an expensive case to throw a party or two.
Well, Doug, I've got sparkling wine and champagne to fit all three of those categories. I've got Paris Cuvée and Nicolas Feuillat, Paul Justine and Raja Colon, and Tino, all wonderful, under $30, in the $10 to $15 range, some Spanish cavas. Cava is made like real champagne. They require them to use quality grapes, and they do real second fermentation. Avino Cava, Marques de Galida. And then for toasts, I've also got an inexpensive cava for $6.49 a bottle called Marques de Monastrell. It's a wonderful bottle of wine, wonderful bottle of sparkling.
Well, Brenda, I knew you'd have the right answer. Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits, convenient location, 12th and Broadway.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
KNRC News Time is 2:39. Time to check traffic. Darren Copeland is in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by BMW. Got a bit of a problem eastbound I-70 right at the 32nd and Youngfield exit. There's an accident. Watch for delays. There's also construction a little bit further between 6th and Morrison in both directions, east and west. That'll cause slowdowns as well. And on westbound 6th Avenue right at I-25, we got a stall in traffic that's causing backups. Cut through snow and ice easier than ever. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about our all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, X5 and the new BMW X3. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Mother Nature continues to do us a kind turn with these above normal temperatures. The trend for that will last for the next several days. However, it will be turning windy and colder on Friday. We'll top out around 55 for our high today with a mix of sun and clouds. Fair and low 20s tonight. Low 50s tomorrow, back in the low to mid 20s on New Year's Eve. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Right now, sunny skies, 54 degrees downtown Denver. KNRC News Time is 2:40. I'm Steve Smith. The next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on 1150 KNRC.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning series takes a look back at some of the hottest topics of 2003. Television is becoming more violent and vulgar every day. What started as a cable trend toward programs featuring sex, violence, and explicit language is now a common thread on broadcast networks as well. And it's not just late-night TV. Reality, gross-outs, and bed-hopping 20-somethings are common at all hours. Has television gone too far? Or should viewers take responsibility for what they watch? Also, should the church allow homosexuals
individuals to serve as members of its clergy? And what about the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay? Should we be allowed to hold people indefinitely without charging them with some crime? Join host Greg Dobbs as he and a diverse panel of guests debate the issues on Colorado's State of Mind Friday night at 8:30 on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. And join the discussion online anytime at rmpbs.org. Watch Colorado State of Mind every Friday at 8:30 p.m. only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
KNRC Market Watch.
A late rally lifted two of Wall Street's three major averages into the green. The Dow Industrials, the losers, falling 25 points to 10,425. The Nasdaq rose 3 points to 2010. The S&P 500 added a fraction to 1110. Big board volume was light. Nearly a billion shares traded hands. Advancers beat decliners by a roughly 3-2 margin. Boeing was one of the Dow's bright spots, gaining 28 cents a share. One analyst tells MarketWatch.com Boeing's roughly $9.5 billion Navy fighter jet contract was expected, but he says it's certainly pleasing, given the firm's recent ethics scandals involving the Air Force. Investors also had to sift through reports on consumer confidence, existing home sales, and Chicago area manufacturing today. All the reports were weaker than expected. Once again on Wall Street, the Dow was down 25 points. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
242 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm looking here at the best New Year's resolution you can make, which is to make no New Year's resolution at all, but somebody's suggesting to do a stop doing list. So no to-do list. Just enjoy yourself. And what do you think about that? Do you do New Year's resolutions? Here's what I hate. Oh, and I'm looking at a picture of Strom Thurmond's daughter that he had with a black woman. And really, is she black or is she white or is she a combination of the two? She's kind of a lovely looking woman, about 80 years old, and I don't know, I was just thinking about that. Anyway, I hate these top 10 lists. Top 10 movies, top 10 miscreants, top 10 things you're going to do. I hate that at the end of the year. I think you're much better off sitting down and making out your own list in your own life. Look over the past year, if you have a chance to do it, and see what you've really accomplished in this last year and where you haven't accomplished things and where things have been a plus and where things have been a minus and how you can improve things in the next year. Don't you think that that's more worthwhile than somebody else's top 10 list of movies? And in any event, movies are getting worse and worse. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about a lot of things today. We began with the editor of the Farmer's Almanac. And the reason we were talking about the Farmer's Almanac is that if you're caught carrying one of these at an airport, this will immediately raise suspicions that you're a terrorist. No, I'm not making that up. This is the FBI saying that the terrorist might be consulting an almanac for who knows what reasons. Well, if you're really a terrorist, and now that the FBI has issued this warning, you think you're going to run around with this book in plain sight? Of course not. You're going to rip the cover off of it. You're going to go with your laptop instead, where you can access every single thing you want. What do you need an almanac for? You can just access things on the net. 303-382-1150. This tells me that they don't have a clue about fighting the war on terrorism and they're grasping at straws, or more precisely, they are grasping at almanacs. We're also talking about how, under cover of bringing in Saddam Hussein on a Saturday, when everybody was diverted, George W. Bush signed into law some of the stealthiest, most draconian provisions of what you would call Patriot II Act. He did this when nobody was looking. This is a redefinition of what a financial institution is. It allows the FBI, without probable cause, with no reason whatsoever, to go in and get all your financial information. And if the bank ever lets you know that you've been targeted by the FBI, that bank is subject to criminal penalties. And by the way, it might not be a bank. It could be the post office. It could be anybody. Because the definition of financial institution has been slyly rewritten. And there's no oversight by Congress, so they write these letters requesting all this information, and Congress used to have oversight of it, and now that's not necessary, so they don't need probable cause, they don't need to go before a judge, they can do whatever they want, and who knows what they're going to do with that information once they get it. 303-382-1150. More surveillance of the ordinary citizen and not much surveillance of big business. Look at mad cow disease. We've known about mad cow disease for a long time. We've known that it was in Great Britain. We've known that it was in Canada, and everybody poo-pooed it. And you have oversight that is largely industry-driven. They're the big contributors. They're the ones who call the shots. So now we have an even more corrupted food supply. Probably unlikely that any of us are going to get mad cow disease. But nonetheless, it's a metaphor. It's a sign. It's indicative. Just like when ConAgra, all the E. coli, all the fecal material that was scattered through so many thousands of pounds of beef that went all over the place, shipped all over the country. And the industry's supposed to monitor itself, and there's not much in the way of inspection because the regulations are more and more industry-driven. This is an administration that's gutting the environmental laws and calling it the Clean Air Act. I mean, there must be somebody who sits around and thinks up the names of these doublespeak kinds of legislation, clean skies, clean air, what do they call it? Blue skies? Blue sky is right. As they gut any kind of environmental legislation, and they do it in secrecy. So here are your civil liberties under the guise of being at an elevated terror alert level, and it's been reported in WorldNet Daily, which is, believe me, no raving liberal publication. It's a very conservative publication that the alert levels are being manipulated by this administration on the basis of nothing much, and that they're leaning on hard on the intelligence services to try to justify the elevation in alert ratings, levels. So now we're at color-coded orange. We were at yellow, or possibly puce, or possibly aubergine, whatever it was. Who knows what these colors mean anymore? And nobody's asking for proof that we're taking them at face value, that somehow they have intelligence, that the regime has intelligence information that tells us that the alert rating ought to be raised. So we all subject ourselves. We practically strip. It's hilarious. You know, after you take off practically all your clothes to go through the metal detector, now you have to stand there and put it back on again. And there was someone behind me, and we just started laughing about it. It was so ridiculous. But necessary now. Well, that's one thing. I'm not thrilled about it, but it's one thing. But signing this kind of legislation, and they made it an intelligence act, so there was no debate about it. And they concocted it so that it was a voice vote, so you don't know whether your senator voted for it or against it. According to this Texas paper, the San Antonio paper. So in every way, it was conducted in secrecy. Well, what were they afraid of? What didn't they want us to know? What was the big deal about having everything done in secrecy? If this is a democracy, why can't we debate these issues? This is a vindictive administration. Look at Valerie Plame, prime exhibit number one. This is the wife of Joseph Wilson, outed as a CIA undercover agent. Because her husband wrote an op-ed piece saying that the White House knew that Iraq had not tried to buy enriched uranium from Africa because he had gone on a fact-finding mission, and he said it was all based on forgeries that were so coarse as to be completely obvious. So, the White House vindictively playing hardball, and they've been vindictive with a lot of our old allies, and now they're telling countries that don't even have air marshal programs that they've got to put some air marshals on their planes because of the elevated terrorist level or the orange alert, or they won't allow those planes to land in this country. Some of these countries don't even have air marshal programs, and our own air marshal program is pretty much a scandal. You used to have to be a good sharpshooter. That got taken away because they put a lot of people on quick who didn't have skills. And then they didn't deploy them in any efficient way. They had a lot of people who were working hard and then a lot of other people who were sitting around doing nothing. And so and a lot of people quit the Air Marshal Program. So it is the illusion of security rather than real security. The FBI looks like it's doing something when it puts out an alert saying anybody who's carrying an almanac or any other reference material like that is suspicious. So you know what? The country's going to get dumber because no one wants to go look at a reference book anyway. What happens if you walk on board with the Encyclopedia Britannica on a disc. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 11.
The other side of us says, why not? Lucky for us, we listen to both sides. AM 1150, KNIC.
Hi, this is Larry King. It seems like we're all trying to eat right these days, but how about drinking right, too? Did you know that a delicious 6-ounce glass of Welch's 100% grape juice, made from Welch's own Concord grapes, counts as a serving of fruit? It also has 3 times the antioxidant power of grapefruit, tomato, or even orange juice. Not bad when you consider that growing evidence suggests diets rich in antioxidants may reduce the risk of heart disease. Welch's Purple Grape Juice. Don't just eat right. Drink right, too.
A KNRC community commitment.
The Curtis Arts and Humanities Center announces Live Art, an exhibit designed and coordinated by members of the Greenwood Village Teen Art Board. The exhibit features a 16-by-8-foot mural expressing the teens' outlook on today's art and a room of my own, utilizing objects from their homes. Located at 2349 Orchard Road in Greenwood Village, the Curtis Arts and Humanities Center offers a variety of art and admission is free. For hours and information, call 303-797-7
Meet L.A. Sheriff's Deputy Rico Amante.
I was born in New York, almost incarcerated there, and now police in the streets of L.A. How's that for self-rehabilitation?
Meet his training officer, Senior Deputy John Henry Barnes.
My first name is for loved ones and friends. I don't love you, and you are not my friend.
Now put these two guys together in a squad car.
Hookers, nurses, and other cops. That's who we marry.
Which of the three is your wife, sir?
Shut up!
10-8, Officers on Duty. Premieres this Sunday at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
AM 1150, KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150, KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Iran is playing down its political impact of the help that we're giving to it in the wake of the quake. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. It's 2:53 as we inch toward the new year. So I thought that maybe if we donated a lot of help to Iran, it would create more goodwill, and maybe it will in a back-channel way, but right now they're saying, not having any part of it. Here's a story I was saving. On my flight back from San Francisco on United, they were selling meals. I used to think that having a picture of a meal was maybe better than eating the real food, but they were selling meals, and people say that they are quite good, and I think they're from different kinds of fast food restaurants. I forget some of the names, but they were familiar. Anyway, there was a wonderful piece that I've been saving here from the New York Times where all these Pan Am stewardesses get together once a year or so to remember when flying was a whole different thing, and their uniforms are just great. And some of these women, the golden age, I guess, was in the 50s, but some of these women can still fit into their uniforms, which are quite jaunty. And it brings back memories of flying when it was a luxurious thing and you see people eating out of, silver containers and so on. Pan Am went out of business in 1991, but its golden years in 1950s and 60s remain vibrant in the memories of its former flight attendants who make up World Wings International. It's a philanthropic group of a lot of former flight attendants, and they donate money to all kinds of charities. But there was a lot of luxury. Before the 747 and the DC-10, long before the Concorde, Pan Am operated Clippers and Stratocruisers. The Clipper had dressing rooms, a bridal suite, overnight beds, a dining salon, and a lounge. The Stratocruiser, in operation from 1947 to 1960, offered spacious luxury. A spiral staircase led to a plush sit-down bar in the belly of the plane. The deluxe first-class service, called the President's Special, offered 7-course meals with china and table linens, caviar and hors d'oeuvres. Lamb chops or Dover sole were prepared in galley ovens. Hot carts were wheeled down the aisle, and stewardesses cut slices of prime rib at passenger seats. Now they're just cutting the passengers. One stewardess said that she was from a small town, and she said suddenly she was getting a crash course in fine dining. Meals were prepared from recipes provided by Maxim's. Applicants came from small towns, applicants to be stewardesses, cities in the United States or Europe and Japan. Many of them had never flown before. College education was required, as was fluency in a language besides English. Stewardesses were expected to be young, beautiful, and single. There were strict appearance requirements. Women had to be at least 5'2". The only exceptions were Hawaiian women who were desirable for their exoticism and ability to speak Hawaiian. A 20-year-old woman who was 5'4" could weigh no more than 130 pounds. Stewardesses were allowed to gain a few pounds as they approached the mandatory retirement age of 32. One stewardess earned $7,000 her first year, more than any member of her college class. Stewardesses could not be married or have children. And when one stewardess got married in 1957, she said that was the end of that. They gave me 6 months' notice and told me I couldn't wear my wedding ring while I was working. No stewardess could wear more than one ring. This uniform had to be crisp. Lipstick was the specified color red, and hair was cropped above the shoulders. Girdles were required. When you fly, the air pressure could make your belly swell, and they didn't want that, so you had to wear a girdle. The uniforms and other Pan Am memorabilia, China flatware glasses, menus, photos, and flight bags form a popular genre for collectors. Probably you can find a lot of that stuff on eBay. One stewardess recalled serving the Beatles and Winston Churchill. I remember once when Danny Kaye was flying with us, he got up with us and was cooking meals in the galley. Isn't that amazing? So you could only wear a certain color lipstick. You couldn't be more than 32 years old. If you got married, that was the end of it for you. You had to wear a girdle because of the air pressure so your belly wouldn't flop around and swell. And you had to be fluent in at least one other language. Your hair had to be cropped at a certain length. And there was all this luxury. There were special recipes, and they made food from the recipes from special fancy French restaurants, and it was all fine dining. What a difference. And people dressed. In fact, when I was on the Denver Post train to Frontier Days in Cheyenne, there were pictures of old-fashioned train travel, and by that I mean in the 40s and 50s, and women were dressed in hats and gloves. Well, even in San Francisco until I would say the 60s, I think, maybe even later than that, when you went down to Union Square, women of a certain age were expected to wear gloves, and their bags and shoes were supposed to match. Wow, what a different time. People wear sweats to the theater now. I don't know who they're selling all those fancy clothes to because I don't know where they wear them. I don't see a lot of them being worn to a lot of events. And here was air travel in a definitely in a different time and place. Now, it's a cattle car. You got to bring your own food. Somebody's eating stuff that's grease is pouring out of it right next to you, and that person weighs 5,000 pounds. We'll talk about that more later as we inch toward New Year's Eve. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for producing a fine show today. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for keeping us on track as always. Doug Kellett up next from 3 to 6, 6 to 9. Dominic and Billy start your day with the Greg Dobbs Show from 6 a. to 10. I'll see you tomorrow. Let's have lunch together, noon to 3, as we plot our New Year's Eve. I'm Enid Goldstein. Do something generous. Try to leave the world a better place. Think about how you can be a better person next year than you were this past year. See you tomorrow at noon on
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
And at 3 o'clock, it's 54 degrees in Denver. I'm Steve Smith. This news is a service of BMW. The investigation of that Glendale apartment fire could be wrapped up by Friday. This comes from the man in charge, ATF Deputy Chief Philip Horbert.
It's a little too early to say. We'll probably have a better handle on it when we start getting in the actual building and start narrowing down the possibilities to where we think the area of origin is.
Before investigators can get into the Spanish Gate apartments, the building's five-story high chimneys must be knocked down. This, he says, can be a challenging procedure because it's difficult to control where the chimneys will fall. Last weekend's blaze displaced 40 families and killed one female resident. Investigators now know why the Coors Field escalator failed 6 months ago. Dozens of people were injured, some severely, after a fireworks display. Denver's chief escalator inspector, Jim Pardykes, says it's a case of too many people and failed brakes. But engineers and officials at Oregon State University, where the tests were conducted, found that a part called the Nordic soft start is what failed, putting the escalator's motor into high gear. Attorney General John Ashcroft stepped down from a probe into who leaked the name of an undercover CIA operative. In an afternoon news conference, Deputy Attorney General James Comey appointed U.S. Attorney General Patrick Fitzgerald from Chicago to lead the investigation.